last time on the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Buzz, why don't you go ahead? Why don't you sell us out? Use some of that fake enthusiasm.
We'll be right back with more of the great Don and Mike Show.
You kill me.
That was a good job, Dennis.
And now the goddamn thing's not fire.
Give it to me one more time, Buzz.
On the great Don and Mike Show.
on the greatest episode ever.
On the greatest ever Don and Mike Show.
Can I try it?
Sure. Good night, everybody.
The Don and Mike Show.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara Show.
I'm glad you enjoyed them, sir, but no, I'm afraid they are not real radio personalities.
Hello, everybody. You got the Don and Mike Show. Coming to you live 4 hours every weekday from the studios of WJFK, Washington, D.C. Broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast.
Welcome to our show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime for free.
Where?
At 877-365-3636.
Oh, that's right.
Turn your radio down. Know who would you do call. Don't call to play the name game. No calls to rape women. Don't ask when they're coming to your town. And don't call telling jokes.
Anytime, toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
You got a gift, my friend. God bless you. You got a f***ing gift.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Well, after a long weekend, let me say, ladies and gentlemen, FedEx Field Stadium announcer, Philip Robert Jonathan, Hawk Mike.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Bill called me Friday night.
Really? What did he
Very want? Apologetic and gave me his word of honor as a gentleman. He will never call the show again and pretend to be Pat Gaud.
Thank you.
It won't happen again.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Automobile and all the ships at sea. Hey, it's the two men single-handedly responsible for the breakup of Ellen and Ann, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Oh, so you're telling me there's a chance? Don't give me credit for that, Rob. Telling me there's a chance. Hello, and thank you for listening coast to coast and nationwide. It's a new episode. It's Monday, August 21.
Yeah.
Phone number same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
Oh. Right. We're here with open arms. We forgot last Friday's show when we took your telephone call.
That's right.
We're ready to believe you again. 877-365-3636. That is your hotline to the hits. We take your live telephone calls throughout the program, so call us. Want to start by saying something that we said on Friday's episode.
Friday.
However, as it turns out, Friday, we were not heard in New York, because NEW was running a Giants football game.
New York Giants football. Go, Ron Dane. Ron Dane is my man. Gary Collins is your man.
He's my second string man. Yeah, we had our fantasy football draft this weekend. We'll tell you about that. Listen, for those of you listening on NEW, you didn't get to hear on Friday when we announced that you're doing better in supporting this show.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
We got some monthly ratings, and we went from a 0.6 month to a 1.8 month, which tripled the month that we dropped.
Yeah, we went from Bluto to Otter.
Yeah, we're still dick. We're still nothing. We're still, we're still bird droppings on the windshield of New York radio.
Yeah, the next step up will be whatever that guy that plays played their lawyer on Animal Housewives.
You know, the guy that was always like this. Hey, Honor, however,
we are doing better. The ratings, at least, thank God, are finally going up in New York.
Yeah.
So thank you for supporting the show, and no, you still can't play the games. Because, frankly, there's nothing to be excited about having a 1.8 share.
But way to keep trying.
That still sucks on ice, but thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting the show.
Tell your friends.
In your limited way that you can up there with a 1.8. We would have told you Friday, except you didn't get to hear us Friday because of the Giants.
Giants football.
We had a great strip trivia on Friday.
Yes. We did.
If you live somewhere where the management is boneheaded, where they cut the show off before it's over, or you had a game or something, the strip trivia Friday was won by Sherman Klump. Big Vic.
Big Vic, the Sherman Klump lookalike.
Used his massive knowledge, and in fact, he won strip trivia. It was a great episode, and we thank everybody that came down. Now, the weekend, yes, we're going to be talking about the fantasy draft.
Yes, our very festive fantasy draft. Best one ever, I think.
Which happened yesterday. I do want to make a very, very impassioned plea to Anne Heche, because there's a chance that she's listening somewhere. I know she's hospitalized now.
She's out now. I heard that buzz. Can you update us on that? Because I was telling Don, I knew that they broke up when I read the paper, of course.
Right.
And then I heard a news story that she'd had some kind of erratic behavior or something like that.
Yes, in Fresno. She walked up to the house of a stranger, knocked on the door. The people opened the door.
Let me say, sounds very Margot Kidderish.
Yeah, really. The whole thing, very Margot Kidderish. And began to make statements that didn't make any sense to the people who lived in that house. And so they called the sheriff's office.
What'd she say? I feel the need for meat.
We don't know exactly what she said. We don't have direct quotes.
Call me a pretty girl.
I need some sausage.
What time is it? The planes are flying on Tuesday.
The sheriff's office came, took her to the hospital. She was there for a couple of hours. She talked to the doctors during that period of time, and then she was released.
Ah, so she's out. So listen, Ann, if you can hear me.
You're just what she needs.
Listen, I'm here.
And I know
I'm
you,
here.
You broke that marriage up.
I've wanted you since the first moment I saw you. I knew Ellen wasn't man enough for you. I'm here. I'm here for you.
Well, if she was all distraught and walking up to a total stranger's house and saying things that didn't make sense, perhaps she was the dumpee and not the dumper.
No, there's no way.
She seemed very upset. She was hospitalized. She was so upset.
Yeah, listen, a guy driving a Cadillac doesn't trade it in for a Yugo.
I know.
You know, Ellen is not going to do better than Anne Heche.
Well, what if Ellen got angry because Anne was, you know, Anne is always the one that people look at, and Ellen's not the one that people look at, and maybe Anne just got, one too many good looks, and Ellen DeGeneres decided, you know, get out of here. You don't love me. You don't really love me. You know, jealousy, the green-eyed monster.
Or maybe right. Ellen finally wised up. She woke up and she said, you know what? You only went out with me because I had a television show, and I announced I was gay, and I got publicity, and what happened was Anne got famous
right.
because she was going out with Anne, and now Anne Heche is a big star, and Ellen DeGenitals is nothing.
But Anne Heche is the one that just got out of the hospital.
Right? Out of the hospital.
Hospital.
You imagine knocking on the door. Hey, look, it's movie star Anne Heche.
Out of all the doors in the world, why couldn't she have knocked on my door?
Hi, Don, may I Mambo Dog Face to the banana patch?
I would have been like that kid in the movie. I said, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Ding dong. It's Anne Heche.
Anne Heche is now... And they said there was no third party involved in the breakup.
Right.
So that means that she is a free agent now.
She's on the market.
And who knows? I mean, who knows whether she'll stay...
She's available.
...in the life. She might go back to the other side.
And I'm not talking about leaving my wonderful wife of 19 years.
I would never do that.
I love Frida. I'm simply inviting Anne Heche to join our marriage. Much like when Tom and Roseanne...
You will take her into your marital bed.
...wanted to bring a third girl into their relationship. Now, I haven't run this by Frida. Yet.
Oh, okay.
But listen, that's what I would like. I would like to be married to both Frida and to Anne Heche. And if they would like to explore each other,
well, I've never heard Frida really express a desire in that. And you have to be careful with that, you know, because you do something like that, and the next day you're coming home from work and all the furniture's gone, and you know, Anne and your wife are like in a convertible driving across the country. Hey. Happened to Steve Martin.
How come the phone level's so low? That's a way low level on the telephone.
Because it's Monday?
Yeah.
Because the strike's over everywhere but here?
Hello?
Oh, well, that's better. Hi, sweetie.
Hi, my boo-boo.
Here she is, everybody. Today, back from Spain. Goddamn, I miss. I'm glad to have her. Glad to have Barty back.
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
Hi, Frida.
I know, I learned many words while I was over there. I know how to say, mas vino tinto. That means more red wine, por favor.
Mas vino tinto?
Yes, and mas cerveza. That's more beer, por
more
favor.
Beer. More beer.
And la cuenta. That means, por favor, check, please.
And how do you say charge it?
Just show them I don't have to have words. I just flash them the card.
Yeah, that's all nonverbal. That's
how do you say, my husband is paying for all of this?
That was unnecessary information. I didn't feel necessary. I didn't feel like I had to have that. As long as I could, order more of what I wanted and flash them the credit card, I was
set.
Well, damn, I missed you. I missed Bart. We had a wonderful big family-style weekend, big family hug on Saturday when they got back from the airport.
The trip looks like, I saw him at Fantasy Football, looks like it did your son good. He seems changed to me. He seems grown up, more grown up.
Oh, you just haven't seen him in a while.
I
didn't buy it. You're trying to tell me that he got some over there. That's
no,
what you were trying
I didn't.
You said to me, he looks like a different guy.
He has matured.
Did you notice a change in him?
Oh, yeah. And he told me many stories to curl your hair.
He just seemed like he'd gone from that kind of freshman in high school thing up into the... He's just a grown man. He's a man now.
I think so. I think one day he'll write a movie kind of like Stand By Me. You know, one of those change of life movies.
You know, maybe because of the outfit he was wearing at the fantasy draft, too. He was dressed like Jack Kent Cook at the fantasy...
He wore a suit with a vest, and he had a watch, a pocket watch, and he took one of my old briefcases and brought that in because he wanted to show everybody at
dressing
the draft
like an owner
how seriously he was taking
it. And then around the house, most of the time he's dressing like a slicky. They call him Ricky Suave around the house.
He bought all of these shiny shirts and this shiny jacket. He bought this jacket, something that looks like a pimp would wear, and he wants to wear this thing to school this year.
He's looking Euro. Is that what he's going with? A Euro look?
Yeah.
Is that it?
No. Absolutely. Listen, honey, here's the reason I'm calling.
Mm-hmm.
First, of course, welcome back. Love you, miss you. And I say, she asked me if I had talked on the air last week about how much I missed her, and if I also mentioned all of the wonderful little gifts that she left me every day and the little notes.
Yeah, it was almost every day.
Yeah,
it was every day, and there were even some bonus ones thrown in there.
No, but I'm saying he talked about it every day.
Oh, I see.
So listen, honey, now that all that's out of the way, here's what I want to ask you. And I don't think we discussed this morning. Oh, she wanted to discuss politics with me today.
About time, Frida.
I just had to clear up some things with
straighten
him.
Straighten him out, Frida.
And I think I...
Round and round she goes.
I think he's coming round. Good. I think
of course he'll come around. He's a very intelligent guy.
I think so, too.
Worked with him for 15 years. You know a guy. You worked with a guy for 15 years.
It's just an
elaborate exercise.
It's not an elaborate exercise. I believe my convictions. I stand by what I said.
No, you don't really. I mean, you're very emotional, and I appreciate your emotional response and an angry response, but you're also very intelligent. So once you cool down, you realize that even though you don't like it, no ticket is perfect, no situation is perfect, but
I have made up my mind, as I said to Mike, as I said to the people that call, as I said to you today.
I just, for one, will be counting on, before this can go all the way up to the election, I'm counting on the ultimate, week before the election, big betrayal of the Republican Party.
Don't count on it.
A man can dream, can he?
I know you can't say anything because it would look like, that we twisted your arm and you've got too much pride, but I know that you're way too smart to change your vote to the Republican Party because the vice presidential candidate on the Democratic Party on one topic is acting too right wing.
Amen. Wait, you tell him. You go, girl.
This is what she laid on me today. When we should have been talking about Ellen and Anne, instead, she wants to come in and shut the door and say, listen, we really need to talk about this thing with you voting Republican.
Good for you, Frieda.
Well,
I'm proud of you.
I'm confident that he's
Well, whatever he does, if he does change, I hope he does.
GOP for Emmy.
I hope he does so publicly. And with a great deal of fanfare, don't you know?
Well, I don't know that that'll happen. Because he's not a man that enjoys eating his own words. But I know he'll change.
She says to me, and this is where the argument just starts to disintegrate today, where she says, listen, you're looking at this from your standpoint. You don't want Lieberman because Lieberman wants to shut up shot jocks and wants to censor media, right? I said, right. She said, What about all the other people out there? What about the people who believed in the Democratic platform for so many years, blah, blah, blah? You know, I said, I don't care about that. I've never really cared about other people. I really only care about myself.
See, now you're just...
My family.
Well, now he's sounding like a Republican.
Well, you know what? And I feel that, and I know that he doesn't feel that way. I mean, prompted this discussion is we were watching Gore, and he was saying something about tax cuts for the wealthy and what the Republicans want. And I said, for example, don't you think that Gore is wealthy, that it would really be in his own best interest to have his own tax cuts?
Yeah, right. Listen, Al Gore is not rich. Al Gore is not rich.
Actually, he comes from a very
wealthy family.
From
a privileged background at all.
Listen, please.
That's why they slam him. He lived down at that fancy schmancy hotel all those years.
Please.
But now we're double teamed. He's going to get real upset now because we're double teaming him.
You know, I'm just going to dig my heels in further.
But he was wealthy. He is wealthy.
Okay. Yeah. And thank God he's making this great sacrifice. And is he giving all of his money up?
No,
incidentally, is Al Gore cleaning out his vast personal accounts to help
voting
people?
Tax? I mean, do you see him voting for tax reduction for the wealthy?
Honey, if he is so goddamn rich, let him pay some of these bills himself.
I think the argument for anybody, Republican or Democrat, that's wealthy, that's in politics, a lot of the times they say, you know, if they come from a whole bunch of money, what they choose to do is they choose to go into this type of thing as opposed to just, you know, sit on a boat somewhere on the French Riviera.
That's true. They could all make more money in the outside sector.
Someone
that wasn't even the point, Sugar.
No modern convenience than someone brought up in poverty like George W. Bush.
Somebody brought up in poverty.
Right. Now, there's a guy who's not had one single advantage.
Right. They would say in politics, Don is right on the message.
Right. Yeah, listen, he knows his stuff. He's hard to argue with.
Drop this, okay? Excuse me for trying to bring some levity to this situation. But I'm not changing. I say that to you. I say that to her. I say that to everybody.
I know you are.
I'm not changing.
I mean, because the bottom line was, the reason that you don't like Lieberman is because he acts too right-wing. So you're going to vote right-wing.
Okay,
that makes
sense. Listen, knock it off. Here's what I want to talk to you about.
You know what?
I want to talk to you about the chance that Anne Heche joins us in our marriage.
As a good Republican, that would not fly. You know, maybe if I thought you were a Democrat and more open-minded, you know, we could do some more liberal action like that.
See, I could talk till I was blue in the face and you wouldn't change, but I believe the woman we're listening to has, in many, many areas, a lot more power over you.
Sure she does. She influences me.
She's tremendous, especially when we're going into the subject we're going into.
Right. She is not my mommy.
If we're going to be a good right-wing couple, I'm sorry, just you and me missionary style, that's it.
All right, I'll tell you what. If Anne Heche shows up at our door, and if you welcome her into our bedroom, I will switch back to being a Democrat.
That's what I would do for my party.
All right, and I would do it also.
Fair. That's noble of you, Frida.
Thank you.
I would do it also. But you know I'm nuts about her. I really am nuts about her.
She's a Democrat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course she is.
Yeah, right.
She's a lesbian, of course she is.
Sugar Bear, you're going to tell her you're not for gay rights and you think she's going to jump in your bed?
No, I'm for gay rights.
All right, then you're back on our team.
I can be pro-gay and be Republican. Listen, right now I'm just pro-getting Anne Heche as the third member of our marriage.
Yeah.
Taking her into the marital bed.
Right.
I just love the sound of that.
And I was practicing up today. Practicing up for that.
Practicing?
Yeah, I was.
Oh. Practicing up for a three-way?
No, getting my skills together today.
Oh, that's great.
I was practicing on Frida.
Before I even preseason?
Before I even read in the newspaper that Ann and Ellen were breaking up. You know, I'm proud of this. I want to tell you something. When my wife and I today fulfilled our marital obligations, somebody finished first. And it was not me.
Hey, fantastic.
It was not me.
Congratulations. Welcome back from Spain.
Right?
Thanks.
Right, because, you know, I got the job done.
Really?
I spent some more time. I did.
Excellent.
Boy,
that was, good for you.
I can't wait to see the movie bill from last week. Cause
my hand is numb. My whole arm feels like ginger ale. But everything's great. She finished first.
And I wonder why Lieberman wants to curtail what... You know what? I might vote for him just for that.
All right, love you, honey. Glad you're back.
I love you, too.
Glad you're back.
I'm glad I'm home, too, sweet pea.
Glad the boy's back.
All right.
All right, bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Okay, so they're back, and I'm happy. So, you know, I mean, I missed him, and Jesus, I missed her just for a week.
He's a good kid. I mean, he's a lot of fun. He gets more fun every year I see him at that fantasy draft. I mean,
yeah.
He's just a funny guy, and a lot of kids don't necessarily fit in with the older guys. Of course, we're all children anyway.
Yeah, it's like a room full of 15-year-olds.
But he's just funny. Yeah, it was good to see him. It was good to see him, and I appreciated my bolero hat that he gave me and my little matador full of wine that supervised my entire draft on Sunday. Bart gave me this tiny little bottle of, I think it was Muscatel wine.
Yeah, it is.
That was in a matador's glass bottle.
You screw off his head.
And it's a cork underneath, and it's the matador. And he was Jose Maria, and supervising one of my picks, and I was talking with him for the entire draft.
And as the draft went on, the Bloody Mary started to flow. Mike would put the hat on. And you got to see this hat.
Hat doesn't fit, of course.
Of
There's
course.
No hat that fits me, but it would rest on top of my head.
And it's got the strap for underneath your chin.
Olé. Olé. I am ready for my pick. Here we go. Bueno, bueno.
And everybody at the draft, we had a great fantasy draft this year. The dynamic where Bart comes into it is when Bart first comes in the room, mm-hmm. everybody for the first half hour of the draft watches their language.
Yeah.
Everybody, all the guys, they go, oh, fudge, darn it. You know, oh, that pisses me off. Well, an hour into it, you know, all of that goes out the window
uh-huh.
when things start going bad for guys.
Yeah, we had to be more careful because Larry Michael had his kids there in the back room
and
the other side of the door to the kitchen.
And his daughters are like 4 and 6.
Yeah, I mean, they're little bitties, and I didn't even know they were there until E.B. from the Sports Junkies uttered one of his many expletives, and we said, hey. The kids here. So then from that point forward, it was like,
here's the pickle moment. Somebody was picking somebody that Eric wanted
badly,
and they made the pick. They said, you know, whoever it was, Frank Wycheck, whoever. And Eric slams his hand on the console and screams, cock a doodle do. Just screamed the C word.
Top of his lungs.
I nearly peed my pants.
Yeah, he gets the most upset of all of us.
I really did.
That's why I like to sit next to him.
The draft. I know I say this every year, but I'm going to say it again.
Well, you got more to. You can do a little more talking this year because you went to the Super Bowl.
Actually. My team kicks ass. I'm the winner. Of course, if St. Louis and Denver go down the crapper, I'm going to be a gigantic loser because that's where most of my players are.
Nah.
But my draft was killer. I got everybody I wanted. And if you want to know about my mock draft, well, I did pretty good on my mock draft and what guys would do.
Mm-hmm. Your predictions, sorry.
I had, there are 12 guys, so there's 12 picks in each round. Mm-hmm. In the first round, I picked 3 exactly on the head
mm-hmm.
with the guy and who I thought they would take. In out of the first 12 players,
I wish you'd been right about me. I would have liked to have Terrell Davis
in just in a different order in the first round. I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I had 9 out of the first 12 guys in different order.
That's your mock draft.
Yeah, 9 out of 12 in my mock.
You knew
draft.
How it was going to go. You were prepared.
Well, yeah, I was. I was.
I'd like to say for my team this year, I getting done with the draft after reviewing it last night, I'd say there's a reasonable chance I might go winless this year.
Ooh.
You know, but there's a chance, if a few guys have big years, that I'll do very well. And Mr. Brad Johnson, I hope he has a big year.
I'm so great. My team's so great. Kurt Warner, and then Torrey Holt, Oz Hakim from St. Louis. I got 3 guys from St. Louis.
You're banking on St. Louis to have a strong year again, to repeat.
Yeah. And just in case Kurt Warner sucks or breaks his leg, I got Trent Green. So I got both St. Louis
and
quarterbacks.
And he got Kerry Collins, right?
Yeah, well, he's last resort.
Right.
He's the last resort backup.
Now, they're saying good things about him up in New York. They really are.
Then I got the guys from Denver. I got Rod Smith. I got the white guy, Ed McCaffrey. Well, I got the killer team. I got the Tampa Bay defense. I don't see how I lose. I got Tony Gonzalez from Kansas City as my tight end. The best tight end in the league.
You drafted a lot of wide receivers and very few running backs.
Yes. 6 wide receivers, 1 running back. I'll never use them. Orlandis Gary from Denver.
In our league this year, there's going to be an emphasis on the passing game.
So that's my team. Here's who Mike selected. His quarterback is Brad Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
His running backs are Ron Dane and Dorsey Levens.
Right.
His receivers are Antonio Freeman, Terry Glenn. Oh, this was a bad pick. Sentimental pick. Jerry Rice.
Yeah, but way down there. I mean, I'm not going to start him. I drafted him as kind of a backup, and he still is Jerry Rice. And I read the injury report on all the teams. And one of the things they said about Jerry Rice was that, you know, like many other years, he's, you know, he's early in camp. He's in the best shape ever. And so, you know, I figure what the hell. It is a sentimental pick. So is Ron. You know, and Ron Dane was a very nervous pick for me, the running back, the rookie Heisman Trophy winner for the Giants. And Don says he picked with his heart.
Sure, that's the same reason you took that Brad DeLuiso.
Well, yeah, I like
the
to pick.
Her from the Giants.
I'm a Giants fan. I like to pick New York Giants. And I, you know, I was kind of, actually, I was kind of bummed out that you got Kerry Collins because I might have gone with him, too.
He's just my backup.
Right.
Then you got Mike Hollis from Jacksonville as your kicker. And you got the Tennessee defense, which was a very good pick.
Yeah, Tennessee defense. So it was a pretty good draft. I have no idea. I mean, I'm not like you and Cakes and all those other guys that actually know what they're doing. I mean, I printed out the morning of the event, and I have my wife organize it for me. But I get completely lost. And our draft, unlike years past, where it used to move very slowly.
This was an organized son of a bitch.
We just flew. Jeff from Tech Radio here at WJFK.
We were done in 2 hours and 15 minutes. We were done before the food arrived.
It was incredible. I mean, we flew through this draft.
I mean, we've been up there before for five, going on 6 hours doing this draft. And it just flew by. The surprise of the draft was Bickle, who had the second pick. The second overall pick. Now, keep in mind that there were 12 protected players. So, really, the 14th player pick, but the second pick in our draft, he chose Marcus Robinson from the Chicago Bears.
The Bears, a lot of picks from Chicago. They're expecting good things out of the Bears this year.
That's a reach. You think that's a reach?
I think it's a big reach.
I think that the funniest guys were the guys from Tech Radio.
Very unorthodox. First of all, the guy they protected.
Yeah, well, they protected Jason Elam.
They protected a kicker. You don't see a kicker go into, like, the fifth or sixth round.
The kicker from Detroit, that's who they protected. And these guys, okay, now the rest of us are disc jockeys who work here at the station. These guys are Tech Radio. I guess technically they're disc jockeys. They have a weekend show.
Mm-hmm.
All of us, the regular folk, were sitting around a gigantic conference table.
Right.
And, you know, we have our notes and all the magazines, all the stuff we've written down.
And as the draft wears on, it gets progressively messier and messier as papers go everywhere and everybody starts throwing stuff around. It's pretty interesting.
These four guys from Tech Radio, they're sitting off in a corner by themselves, and they've each got a laptop.
And they've got a laptop in the purest sense of the word. They're sitting on chairs with the computer on their knees, in their laps.
So, and there's four of them. And we started getting pissed at them late in the draft when they would pick a guy, because you'd be timed. You'd have 60 seconds to make a pick. They'd say, Tech Radio, you're on the clock. And there'd be like 50 seconds go by, and they would say, okay, Napoleon Kaufman. And somebody, everybody at the table would go, no, he's been picked. Then they go, Jamal Lewis. No, he's been picked. And everybody,
because we're over there with, copy paper and Sharpies.
Right.
You put a line through the guy that's been picked, and it usually works that way.
These guys had computers,
yeah,
and they had no idea who had been picked.
Oh, dear.
But it was fun. I loved it. I lived for it.
I know, and you're like a lot of guys there. I guess you adhere to the thing that your mood for the rest of the year is determined by, you know, by how well your fantasy team is.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'll either be sky high all year long, or I will be suicidal all year long.
What will be a circumstance that would devastate you in the fan? Would it be a career-ending or season-ending injury to Kurt Warner? Would that pretty much take you out of the...
That's why I got Trent Green.
Okay, so Trent Green is your backup?
I just put him right in if I have to. He can throw it just like Kurt Warner. I'm telling you, I got the best team. I really do. Rob, put this in the time capsule. I got the best team. And if I'm wrong, we can play this back when I'm 0-6. And I'll eat a nice S sandwich. But I think I got the best team. I really do. I'm sorry. I do. I got out of the 15 guys I want, I got 11 of the guys I wanted.
But Charlie Broyo said he got all the guys he wanted, too.
Oh, he always says that. Okay, he has Peyton Manning.
Okay,
he's good. Then he has Curtis Ennis from Chicago.
Ennis.
He has your guy, Natroni Means.
Yeah, foo.
Then he has Antoine Smith from Buffalo and Robert Smith from Minnesota.
He loves Robert Smith.
Then he has Joey Galloway.
Good pick.
Peerless Price, Troy Edwards, and Jake Reed. Those are his wide receivers. Then he has Wesley Walls. He's queer for Wesley Walls. He's a good pick. His kicker is Jason Hansen, and his defense is St. Louis. So I'll give him credit. That's not a bad roster.
Mm-hmm.
Not as good as mine.
Who has the worst roster, in your opinion, there?
The worst roster?
Who would have the worst roster? Because I think I'm right in the middle of the pack. I don't think you did bad. I think I did a pretty good draft.
I would have to say the worst roster is probably Tom and Bob, followed closely by Tech Radio.
Who did Tom and Bob have, just out of curiosity?
They have Chris Chandler. Sucks. Hold on. Oh, no, they have Steve McNair.
Oh, they do?
No, they don't. Yes, they do. They have Steve McNair. They have Jamal Anderson, Priest Holmes.
Now, I see you've got red marks next to some of those down there.
Those are just my favorites. I'm sorry, I'll take it a little serious.
Very organized.
A little anal about this, I am.
You are.
Larry Sanders, Priest Holmes, Ricky Williams, Sean Jefferson, Tony Martin, Terrence Mathis, Carl Pickens, Frank Wycheck, and Philadelphia defense.
I think the league has a lot of parity this year.
Yeah, it does.
I really do. I think we're not going to have... You never know, though. In every season, you're going to have the guys that... You know, the Randall Cunningham-Randy Moss combo that's going to go nuts.
I don't know. EB's team might suck. He has... he got Rob Johnson and Doug Flutie in case one of them gets hurt. But he picked Jerome Bettis again.
The bus.
I don't know why he takes him all the time.
He's banged up again.
Yeah, and Emmett Smith. Then he has Keyshawn, Keith Poole, Marcus Robinson, Amani Toomer. It's not a tumor. Orlando Mare. You know, nobody did really awful.
Right.
There are a bunch of good guys all over the league.
I only have one feeling when I go into that fantasy draft. I just want to make sure that I don't draft someone that you know, my feeling is I wait 30 seconds, then I make the pick. And my nightmare is that the whole room bursts into a, you know, guffaws of laughter. Mm-hmm. They start falling out of their chairs, you know, like, he's dead. How could you pick him? He was dead. But, you know, be it as it may, there are a lot of guys on there that are injured.
When Larry left the room once, because he had to go take care of his kids, mm-hmm. and he trusted Charlie to make the pick.
Very bad mistake.
Everybody was screaming for Charlie to pick Fred Lane, who, of course, is dead.
He almost did.
Yeah, he almost did.
Almost went ahead and did it.
Oh, wow.
Fred Lane.
So we'll see. Everybody's now real anxious for the season to begin to see how we go. Who do you go up with against the first week of the season? Who you be playing?
Big Gum Jim.
Big Gum Jim.
That's a victory for me. I predict I'll start 1-0. Was a great time. And your Bloody Marys, listen, I got to tell you something. Even though I had Bart there as the designated driver,
uh-huh.
I took 2 sips of that Bloody Mary.
I had 2.
And I decided after 2 sips, there was no way I could conduct a draft as seriously as I wanted to take it.
Mm-hmm.
There'd be no way I could conduct a draft drinking those Bloody Marys.
I only had 2 Bloody Marys in this 2.5-hour draft that we had. Did you see me at the end of the draft?
Uh-huh.
I had my feet up like I always do here, but I mean, I'm talking about I was ready for a little nap at the end of that. And Eric Bickle of the Sports Junkies, he told me 4. 4 of them, I don't know how he was even upright, because I made them extra double strength.
You did.
I really did, and it was not by design. Honest to God, when I just kind of made a mistake this morning, I put the mix in first and the vodka second. And so I really wasn't sure exactly. And
how much mix you had put in.
Yeah, and then when I got done, I looked at the vodka bottle, and there was about this much left in it. And I said, oh, boy.
Yeah.
But the good thing about a Bloody Mary, you taste it, and you're like, plus that tomato stuff, you know, the Bloody Mary mix
right. Cuts
the taste, so you're really not aware that there's that much vodka in there.
Well, there are a lot of guys that were bombed on Sunday.
Well, they demand the Bloody Marys. They do indeed.
They do.
They really do.
Lurch demands it.
Got the, you know, Lurch says, you got the fresh celery? You got the chopped up fresh celery? And I open it up, he goes, there it is right there. He's like, money. Dives right into it. We're just a bunch of idiots. We really are. That is a good, anybody walking in there and would see, you know, Look at this war room. Look at this. What are you doing? Are you planning some sort of major military campaign? No, we're doing something that doesn't amount to a hill of warm spit.
You could put people behind a two-way mirror and you could say, This is a test for mentally retarded men. We're giving these mentally retarded men
right.
some IQ challenges now. Mm-hmm. Let's see how they can adapt to the standardized testing. Because you would look through and you would think seriously
that we were all a little challenged.
That we were on a short bus.
It was amazing.
I mean, we had a great time.
It was a blast.
A great bunch of guys, an excellent draft.
And then the food comes, and then I cleaned up my Bloody Mary mix.
You. Hold on, you were the food.
I know.
This is how I knew that you had a little something going.
Yeah.
When you went back and got a piece of chicken.
Right.
And you came out and you didn't...
No plate.
You didn't get a plate.
Nope.
You didn't get a napkin. You didn't get a knife and a fork.
I used my my sheet.
You just...
My draft sheet is a placemat.
Packed the chicken down on the draft sheet and just started going at it.
I was so hungry. I went nuts. And then that table... At the end of the day, and I'm the one, I contribute as much as everybody, but I would not want to see that. I left, I cleaned up my Bloody Mary stuff and took the cooler home. But that table had to look like World War III when we all got done eating.
Absolutely gigantic mess.
Good food. Was it Chicken Out? Is that the people?
Chicken Out. They actually catered our fantasy football draft.
Wow. Yeah, and he was about 15 minutes late, which was real dangerous with our group because he comes in and everybody's like, and one of the guys from Tech Radio who was sitting there had his plate, you know, I wanted my food and I wanted just to get through that line. And he comes in and he's got a stack of food that's about a foot and a half high. And he's standing right there. I don't know who this guy was, but he's standing in the middle of the table.
Did the guy with the red shirt?
Yeah, the guy with the red shirt. And little design on it, and he's standing there just slowly eating his food right in the middle where everybody was going to get. I'm like, excuse me, I almost bodily threw him out of the way there. A good time was had by all.
Good time was had by all.
Absolutely.
I mean, I got home and, you know, well, before I even got home, I picked up the phone and Bart and I were on the way home. I called Frieda. I said, was great. She said, was it worth it? I said, was it worth it? I feel sad to say. My family just came home from being in Spain. My kid's been gone a month. My wife's been gone a week. That was the highlight of my weekend, was fantasy football. I'm not diminishing my family and how much they mean to me, but that was it for me. I love that fantasy football draft.
Well, I'd already had a little too much day, and you know how stupid I am. I take my little sheet out, my little handwritten sheet with all my picks on it, and I'm showing it to my wife. Like she has any idea what I'm talking about. I said, hey, here's the first guy I got, Antonio Freeman. He's a stud receiver, huh? And she's looking at me like, why are you showing me this? Why are you doing this? Because you're a total idiot. A complete and total idiot. So then I folded it up and put it back in my dusty pocket.
Yeah, I got the same from Frieda.
Yeah, I mean, they're not.
When I called her up and I said, I'm so excited. I got all the guys I wanted. I said, in my mock draft, I picked 16 out of the first 24 players. She's like, very good. I'm very proud of you. When are you two coming home? Nothing.
Now, you don't do another fantasy draft, right? That's it for you.
This is going to be the only league I'm in this
year. I mean, we're into it. I mean, you're really into it. But I'll tell you, there are guys that make you look like, you know, you're just kind of a casual fan.
Oh, I know.
There are guys that are in 4 and 5 leagues that just spend every waking hour on the weekend preparing for it.
I was invited to be in 2 other leagues. I can't do it. I just can't do it.
I like our little league. I think we got a good league here.
One's play. Plus, you got to pay $150 to get in a goddamn league. I mean, I don't want to drop that kind of money just for fantasy football.
But we get a payoff every week. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, somebody will win the pot every week. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
You know, I originally called because I was so happy that Don was with the Republican Party.
You know, that phone level is effed up again.
But
I hate to take you away from whatever you're enjoying, Rob.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, hold on. Our phone level's awful again. Hold on a sec.
We used to bust Rob's chops for eating during the show
right. Because
he'd just eat to eat. Now he's on a very strict diet where he has to eat at certain times.
Special diet.
They tell him, his nutritionist tells him when
to eat. Like every 3 hours or something like that.
But it's still fun to hear Don say, I hate to tear you away whatever from whatever you're enjoying. What is he enjoying over there?
Something healthy.
Something healthy. Very good.
Shrimp.
No shrimp.
No, he is...
What's he got? What's he got there?
And I'm sure he loves the fact I'm touching his food. I'm not actually touching it, Rob. Hi, Wendell. Phone level's all effed up. I'm just touching the
foil,
the aluminum foil. The sandwich appears to be...
Now you're touching the food.
No, I'm smelling.
Okay.
Now I'm smelling. Hi, Rob.
Have a bite if you like.
No. It's ham and tomato.
honey roasted turkey and tomato with a mustard that I like. It's a Beaver Dijon mustard.
And
Beaver?
Yeah, it's excellent.
Ooh.
Sometimes you get a hair in it. But
and the sandwich underneath has what is that?
It's the same, but no tomatoes on it. Because if you put the tomatoes on in advance, your sandwich will get all goopy.
Mm-hmm. Same and no tomatoes. And he has a bunch of carrot sticks.
Yeah.
He's enjoying. Well, there you go.
Very nice. Thank you.
Please don't let the fact that I just went to the bathroom and touched your sandwich influence that.
You wash your hands.
Because you know, most times I do.
I know. I'm a gambler.
I think we're all in the most times category.
You think you got the level fixed, Wendell? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Don, you're a
Wendell
girl.
Much better. Thank you, Wendell Hall. Thank you, Wendell. Thank you for fixing
that. Can you hear
me? Yeah, now the level's fine. What can we do for you?
I cannot believe, not only are you with the Republican Party, but you picked the two players I picked in the fantasy draft yesterday, Kurt Warner and Trent Green.
Well, then
I don't know about you, but I can't wait for opening day.
And I have it on good authority, Kurt Warner and Trent Green, both Republicans.
I am so psyched. I mean, I'm just seeing the money coming in right now.
Do you know Kurt Warner is a gigantic Jesus freak? I mean, like,
born again, a lot of athletes.
Who
cares?
But more so than, no, you're right about that, but more so than just like the regular born again guys. He's like the type who says, that, you know, everything. Jesus is the reason for
it. Well, he'll keep healthy then, won't he? He'll stay out of trouble.
Well, you think so?
God is his co-pilot.
I know I'm going to win now that, you know, you have him on your team.
Thank you, honey.
I hope you're not going to jinx me, are you?
Man, no. I think you guys are all on God's team.
Hello, Don and Mike show. I think I'm on the bench on God's team.
Hello. You're red-shirted.
Speedwack's a whore who likes to touch his monkey.
Oh, come on. Get off the phone, please, you dummy. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, how are you guys doing today?
Wendell, this level still sucks.
Yeah, use the other hybrid.
Don and Mike.
Oh, I got to use this one?
Yep. Don and Mike.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Hi. Better?
Yeah.
How you doing, guys?
We're doing great, thank you.
See here. Hey, Don, I called you about 2 weeks ago telling you about that Anne Heche, the lovely Anne Heche in the Showtime movie.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I got a message for you, man. Good luck with hooking up with a good portion of those boobies there.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to welcoming Anne Heche into our bedroom.
All right.
You know, and this is not something new for me.
No.
I've wanted Anne Heche for a long time. I'm very serious about that.
Oh, absolutely.
That.
I'd say she's, you know, of all the hotties we talk about, you've been talking about her passionately for at least 5 years.
Yeah, really. She's hot. She's really hot.
Anne Heche.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, buddies.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I saw on cable this morning where they had Anne Heche, they interviewed one of the neighbors so that they were talking about what she was saying.
Oh, good.
She was saying, the first thing she said was, do you know where I keep the butts of my cigar-smoking friends?
Oh, come on. That's a note Frida left me last week.
Come to my basement where Monte Carlo meets Baskin-Robbins.
Okay, now that I don't get.
Are you being serious?
Yes.
No, he's not. No.
My New York ratings are now higher than static.
See? Some ball buster.
Hello.
What was that comeback?
That was like, nah.
I just really want to hit him.
Nah.
I really want to hit him.
Nah. Nah.
Nah.
Too many.
Too many. That's exactly what that was. An old man curmudgeon-y response.
How would you spell that?
N-A-A-H-H-H-H-H.
Nah.
Because I'd love to know what she said.
Oh, like anybody calling this show would have an idea.
Well, I mean, like if it was reported, like the way he set it up, you know, it could be a neighbor said.
She came in here and I could not believe what she said. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey there, you guys.
Hi there, you're on the air.
Great. You would have laughed at this license plate I saw. It said I-M-S-T-R and then B-8. And then their bumper sticker said, honk if you do.
Hold on. It said what?
I-M-S-T-R and then B and the number 8.
Right.
I masturbate.
There you go.
And then it said, honk if you do. Oh, that's good. Oh, so you saw me on the road.
Well, I'm quitting my job today.
Really?
Yeah.
Where'd that come from?
I'm just tired of it. It's boring.
I mean, but you were on this license plate, and then just out of nowhere, you say, I'm quitting my job today. Is it something you just had to say on the air?
Yeah.
You got so excited, you couldn't contain yourself.
Just blurted it out.
All right, now you'll have more time to masturbate.
Well, who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy?
Yeah, they're out there. They're there.
Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike.
And then the boss will go home today and say, the girl who wasn't quite right quit today.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, guys.
Hey, buddy.
Great golf tournament yesterday with Tiger, wasn't it, Mike?
Oh, man. That's one of the greatest golf tournaments I've ever seen.
Who did he beat?
He beat a guy named May. Bob May.
Bob who?
And you know what? You know Gary
May.
McCord? Gary McCord, who does color commentary for CBS, who I used to like, but I think somewhere along the line read his own press and decided that he was funny. If he said, "What about Bob?" once, it was fine, and it was a good line, but then it was like he was impressed with his... Because the guy who was competing against Tiger was named Bob May.
Mike, you don't have to talk to me like I'm retarded.
I watched it.
Oh, you watched it? I watched it, sure. And when I watched it, I kept saying to myself, I wish they would stop talking about May.
Turn on the May.
No, I watched it. How could you not watch the... I watched the last 20 minutes of it.
You know, there's certain athletic contests, I think you'll agree with me, where you just kind of let the thing happen. And you want to talk a little bit, but you don't need... And Gary McCord never gets it. I mean, Gary McCord will do his same rap and his same shtick no matter what the circumstances. And like the third time he said, "What about Bob? What about Bob?" It was like, okay, we got the joke. Congratulations. It was a clever line. One time would have been sufficient, but it was...
I didn't catch that.
It was incredible. I mean,
I don't know if you caught this at the end, but Jim Nantz was teasing the CBS lineup that night, and there's a movie called Saint Maybe, and he was saying Saint May Be.
Okay, St. May.
And I got to yell at Nancy the next time we get him on the show, because every time I hear him doing golf,
right,
he's such a wuss. It's like,
oh, God, he makes it so flowery.
The sprawling greens think like you're in heaven. Tiger walks up, takes the majestic walk up the final hole, rewriting history as High Tiger Woods, this young man who's challenging everybody in the history book. You know, Jim, just
shut up.
Just say, here comes Tiger Woods. He's going to hit the ball. He's going to win. I mean, Jesus, it's like he's writing a romance novel about him.
Yeah, there's one good guy, the Irish guy, David Fahardy, does a really, really good job, and he knows when just to be quiet and let it happen. You know, but I mean, these guys, Jim, between Gary McCord going, "What about Bob? What about Bob?" And then Jim Nantz going, "Here they come with tears in my eyes as I'm fully erect, as I watch them walk up the fairway."
Right.
It's just, I really, more than one time, and you know how I know it was bad coverage? Rudy is like all over him today, you know, giving him wet French kisses.
Right. A-plus from Rudy Martin.
Yeah, it was just too much. There was too much yakety-yak during the whole thing. When you get a moment like that, in any sporting event, you just want him to back off and let it happen a little bit.
Hello, Don and Mike show. I'll say this, though. Tiger Woods, the only reason you get me to watch boring golf, though.
You and a million other people.
That's the truth. Hello.
Hey, did Bart bring your cigars back for you from Spain, Don?
Yeah, you want to know something? I got a little family full of mules. Bart brought me a couple. Frida brought me a couple, but the real cigar smuggler,
right,
was my mother-in-law.
There you go.
She hit the mother load, you know. and she said that, and of course, who's going to challenge her coming through customs?
Right. You're just lucky. You know, I hope you appreciate that, because you're lucky she's not in a Turkish prison right now.
what kind are they you prefer?
Not for cigars, boy. They wouldn't do that for cigars.
Yeah, they're Billy.
Which one do you prefer over there?
And then I would go to the window and push my boob against the window for my mother-in-law.
Oh, Billy.
She brought me Romeo and Juliet. I mean, really, really nice ones. And as she kept opening up her bag, she kept saying, okay, now I've got three more in here.
There you go.
I've got four more in here.
Wow.
I think that the main place that she smuggled these cigars back from Spain was in her totes umbrella.
There you go.
That she actually put each cigar in between the little metal things.
Very smart.
And rolled it up and put it in her bag.
There you go.
Hey, yeah. Don, I got a case coming to you this week. Churchill's.
All right. Thank you, my friend. Bye-bye.
I'll wait for that. He's smuggling them in a very special place.
These cigars taste like ass. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, we're doing great. You know, I should call my mother-in-law later to thank her for yes, bringing me back those cigars.
That's good. A good mom-in-law to do that for you.
She's the greatest. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to change the subject for a little bit. I want to tell you about a license plate I saw the other day in Sterling.
Yeah.
It was on a Honda Accord. It said, "My Three Jizz, G-I-Z." I don't know what she meant by it, but...
My Three Jizz?
G-I-Z.
Oh, G-I-Z. No, well, you spell it with a J. Yeah.
Oh. Well, I was...
Otherwise, it would be Giz.
Well, that's true. I don't know what she meant by it, but... Anyway, I also want to tell you that I loved it when you broadcast it for the Redskins, too.
Oh, thank you, honey.
It's really good.
Bye-bye.
And I enjoyed Chef Harriet that day. Mike.
You enjoyed what?
Chef Harriet.
Oh, Ainsley Harriet.
He was Ainsley.
Oh, Ainsley.
Oh, your cooking show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Are you gonna quit your job?
Oh, no.
Right.
I thought it was another one like the last one.
I heard her.
I was curious.
I know.
Goodbye.
I'll see you later.
Did you pick Kurt Warner for your fantasy team?
We had three of them in that break.
I was watching Ainsley again today. A rerun. How long are they going to run those reruns of Ainsley? Are they just going to keep recycling them?
What channel is that? Is that on the Welcome to Hell channel?
Channel 4.
I know it's on Channel 4.
And they had the lady from Sabrina Teenage Witch on, you know, that's on Hollywood Squares. It just makes the round of all the dumb, happy... What's her name? Oh, I hate her.
Right. She's big jugs, though. Yeah. She does have big jugs.
She was wearing a big floppy shirt, so it was hard to tell. Ainsley's looked good, though.
So to clear these lines out, Lisa Fluffer is standing by to take your calls. We'll take call 100 now. Shot of the money with a secret sound. 877-365-3636. Call 100 right now.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
How can I ever repay you?
Well, a reward would be good. There is some damage to my car. It's a high-performance machine, so I had to fill it with premium.
America's most cunning linguist, Don and Mike.
There we are. We've got to start thinking about the beach house in just a moment.
Oh, boy.
Next week is the time when people are going to be living it with Big Joe DiCaprio in Dewey Beach, Delaware. It's going to be great. So we'll open up the lines for that as soon as we get our call number 100. Here we go. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Right. Hi, who's this?
This is Robert.
Hi, Rob. Where are you from?
Sacramento.
Rob, you've won dinner for two at the Macaroni Grill.
Cool.
Courtesy of Bola Wines. Light it up, slow up, open up. Bola Wines in Italy. Live passionately, but drink responsibly.
Amen.
Right. Right. That was our motto yesterday.
Right.
We'll give you a chance now at $500 with the secret sound. Are you ready?
Yeah, ready.
Play the sound. It's a common everyday sound. You get it right, you win $500. Please don't answer until Mike sings like.
Robert.
Godspeed.
Caller, name this sound.
There it is. A common everyday sound.
I have no idea what this is.
Old timer? You don't think so?
No, it's not.
I bet it's in your house, Buzz.
And the odds are in my favor. Yes!
Yeah!
Yes!
Yeah! I'm sure it's in your house. I've been in your house.
Ah.
I'm sure that this sound is in the home of Burbank.
Let me go home and operate everything and see if I can find it.
Mike, that's an excellent guess you just wrote down, but that's not it.
Okay, that's because I heard it today, and I was wondering whether that was it.
What is the sound? You there. Hello.
I'm listening.
Come on, this is not the Regis show. You don't have unlimited time.
Is it a...
No.
Tupperware bowl lid?
No, it is not a crap. And no, it's also not a Tupperware bowl lid. Thank you, though, and don't forget that every guess is
a clue for you.
A clue for you. Well, you can tell what your guess was.
I can tell you now? Okay. Sure, yeah. I thought it was capping a pill bottle, like putting the cap on an aspirin bottle.
Good guess.
No, that's what I thought. Yes. I heard that today. It's not that I'm thinking about the secret sound all the time at home, but I heard that today as I was taking my many medications before I came in here for the show. And I put the cap back on the aspirin bottle. I only had four or five. And I heard that, and I said, my God, that's the secret sound. But the headache was so bad, it was difficult to think clearly.
And the voices.
Wait a minute, a moment of clarity. It's a pill bottle.
Damned voices. Stop it. Let me think. Damned voices talking at me.
Let me stop the voices. Please, God, no.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello, you're on the air.
Speak to us.
Hello. Now, you know what? I don't know if it's the phones that are bad or hello, Don and Mike.
Hey.
There you go. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, got an Anne Heche update for you guys.
What is the update?
Apparently reported out of Fresno, California, that she was admitted to a hospital sometime this weekend, dazed and disoriented.
Oh, okay, I got an update for you.
What's that?
We already knew all that, and we've already said all that.
Yeah, if you're going to give us an update, the word update means you're bringing us up to date.
Something
on an old story. That is not up to date.
That is akin to a Russian guy breaking in on a broadcast and saying, listen, I just heard something. All those dudes in the submarine are dead.
Right.
Say goodbye.
God, I hate that. This is the second time we've been burned on the Anne Hayes story, and I am desperate for new information.
We all are.
That's right.
No, please turn your radio down. Don and Mike show.
Dollar 100?
No, you're not. Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hold on a second. Hi. Society's just not paying attention anymore.
Don and Mike.
Don and Mike?
Yes, we are. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
I have a great Phil McCracken story.
Okay, go ahead.
I was in Atlantic City this weekend, and you know how they announce when people have calls and they want you to call a certain line. Somebody announced, would you please call Phil McCracken, you have a call. And I heard a few people laughing, and I laughed. And my husband couldn't figure out what was going on. I said, oh, Don and Mike, they always do that. They go in stores, and they say, Phil McCracken and all that. It was funny.
You know, one of the nicest things about somebody that does that is if you can share it with other people. And when the first time I heard Major Woody, I told you it was in the airport. When
right.
you see other people laugh at it, and it's like you're all of a sudden it's that moment of camaraderie. You look around, and I mean, especially in like a casino, that would be hard for people to even pay attention to.
It was cool, because over all the noise of the machines, I heard, Phil McCracken, you have a call.
Well, that's an excellent place. We should have someone go to Atlantic City sometime and do all of our voices.
Right.
That'd be a good idea.
All of our names, rather, over the paging system.
One right after the other.
Thank you, honey.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Listen, about this Russian sub.
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
The Russian people are so pissed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, who can blame
them? I saw a news report today, I guess it was on CNN, where they showed some of the American coverage, then they showed the Russian coverage, okay?
Yeah.
And the Russians are still saying to their people on the TV, hey, there's a chance that they might be okay. Now, what I heard was, of course, you know, they're all dead down there.
Yes.
That is it Norway that sent guys down there?
Yes, that's correct.
Norway sent guys.
Right.
And in 24 hours, they did something that the goddamn stupid Russians couldn't do for a week and a half.
Yeah, in the event that the that it wasn't the catastrophic damage, because there's a very good chance that all the sailors on this ship were killed immediately.
All the seamen
were
lots
dead.
Lots of dead seamen.
When it happened.
More dead seamen than Buzz produces.
Seamen everywhere.
You know, that'd be a good trivia question. Which produces more dead semen, Buzz or the Russian sub?
Ding, 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 ding.
Is it Buzz?
Yes.
Hey. Yeah, but they're down there in 24 hours, and if they had lived, they had enough oxygen, supposedly, where there might have been some survivors. I think they said the best case scenario is that they'd run out of oxygen last Friday.
Last Friday, right? Oh, Jesus. Can you imagine when they finally get that thing up, what it's going to smell like when they open that door?
Yeah, but it'll be filling full of water, so it won't. Well, okay, so it'll be one of those pressure.
Full of salt water.
So, yeah, but yeah. The heads will explode, and that's just a fact, because it's pressurized.
The heads will explode?
Their heads will explode.
Why?
Sure.
Why will their heads explode?
Because it's pressurized underwater. It's like in the bends. Right, there's going to be some exploded heads.
Is there any chance at all, in any of the news stories, is there any chance there would be an air pocket where anybody could have survived up until this point?
At this point, they know for a fact that no one survived. They were hearing air pockets by tapping on various parts of the hull and hearing the difference in the sound, but now they know that the entire thing is filled with water, and they know there are no survivors.
Yeah, some of the heads will explode.
That I'm not sure about.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I just made that up.
I kind of thought so.
But you sold me on it. I was picturing that hatch opening and...
Wow! But seriously... I mean, if they're underwater in a pressurized, can...
And they said they heard tapping the first day it sunk.
Mm-hmm. When they run out of oxygen, if they didn't drown, at some point, isn't it like a balloon that would just... You're underwater with all the pressure? Seriously, wouldn't like their arms blow off or something? Or a head explode?
I don't think so. Well, I know that the pressure under the ocean, it's a pressurized cabin like on an airplane, only going the opposite.
I knew when we went scuba diving that they said you would get the bends. I mean, you couldn't come up too fast or that would happen, or your head would explode.
If the pressure of the water, if the pressure gets in, breaches the hull of the ship,
right, but
then, then they're either going to drown or they're going to, die because of the pressure.
But the sub's pretty much in one piece, right?
Right.
The sub would keep that pressure off them from blowing up.
Well, again, that depends who you hear, because the Russians say that, the sub ran into somebody out there. That's why it crashed in the first place. That someone else had a boat out there.
You know, they still have that Soviet Union culture of disinformation for people. When in fact, after they said it hit somebody, and everybody's wondering what it is, and then didn't it turn out it was just an explosion on board the ship?
Yeah, apparently in the not missile. What are you?
Somebody's head exploding.
That's what it was. No, I don't think so. Because the thing's full of water, the pressure will be the same below the water as it will be above the water, and so
you are desperate to get those heads to explode.
It'd be
like
it would be they'd be just floating around in there, I would think.
Well, either way, those Russians are just idiots,
and the people must be furious at that. They are.
They wouldn't they wouldn't ask for help, and then people tried to offer help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then they said, "No, we don't need your help. We're the Russians."
Right. And then the new guy, Rootin Tootin Putin, who's on vacation,
right? In some topless beach somewhere.
Right. He's pulling a Marion Barry on him.
You know, meanwhile, the Norwegians... And listen, you know, it's not like the Norwegians are the swiftest on this planet, okay?
They got down there, huh?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, you're sending, like, you know, your eighth string in.
Right.
I mean, you got, you know, your United States, you got your Great Britain, you got your Canada, mm-hmm. you got your Italy, you got all these countries who you would put above Norway on a rescue scale,
right.
They send Norway down, and in 24 hours,
right.
They do something that the Russians haven't been able to do for a week.
And those generals with the big hats, you know. Yeah, isn't it weird the way the Russian hats always look a little higher? You know what I mean?
They
look almost like cartoon hats.
They wear those bad uniforms.
You know, with the big high caps that just look silly. It's ridiculous.
They don't have good costumes.
No, that too.
Yeah, they need better costumes.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Oh, am I doing the wrong one, Rob?
Oh, you're right. I see. Hello? Oh, well, he's gone. Hi, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys. Congratulations on your rating increase there in New York City.
Listen, nothing to be congratulated about, okay?
You know, it looks like it's catching on with the homeless. on Anne Heche?
Yeah.
They said that it was the result of some food poisoning. Evidently, she got a hold of some bad tuna.
Okay, listen, this is not open night at the Ha Ha Comedy Club. Mike, don't laugh.
It's not funny, though. No.
Don't laugh.
It's not funny at all.
Don't laugh. I'm sorry. I got to get an apology. Can I clear that line? Is it possible? Has the guy hung up yet? Hello, hang up.
Hello.
It's another guy already.
Yeah, it's rapid fire on this show.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, hey guys, I want to talk about the exploding head. I have some information for you.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, the head would explode if they went out in space because the pressure in your head is greater than out in space, which is a vacuum.
But don't you think out of a 100, there's 102 guys on that stuff, isn't there a chance one of their heads is blown up?
No. What you're thinking of, implode. See, down at the bottom of the ocean, the pressure caused by the water is greater than what's in your head, so your head would literally be squeezed and your eyeballs would pop out.
So they have like Beetlejuice heads.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
That would work.
I'm sure it's not pretty, though.
Oh, no, it's disgusting.
It's like at the end of Beetlejuice, where Beetlejuice is sitting in the doctor's office and he's got the regular body and the tiny little head.
Oh, the, yeah.
Hey.
It shrinks.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Oops.
Hi. Hello? You know, this is my fault, because I keep pressing the wrong button, because they switched the phone. They switched the phone configuration, and I keep going to the wrong telephone line. And we got people, according to Lisa, who really want to tell us if those guys' heads would explode. Hello, Don and Mike.
Can I please talk to Don and Mike?
You're on the air.
Hey, heads exploding actually wouldn't happen. The pressure...
Oh. Why are you turning your radio off?
What was that about? You just stopped in mid-sentence.
You know what? I thought I heard a noise. I apologize.
No, it was me. I said, because I was upset.
Well, I think your theory on speaking is true, but the heads wouldn't explode because the pressure, the water probably leaked in. Slowly, the pressure built back up. I'm not a sub-physicist, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
That's very close. Okay, come on.
But he's a comedian on the show today.
Come on.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
How you doing? Listen, the sub's only in 350 feet of water. Those guys just drowned. No crushing, no exploding. It's only 350 feet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a couple of years ago, the British had a sub that sank, and those guys got out, and it was about 600 feet of water.
Oh, come on. You mean there's not a chance, not one guy's, like, had an eyeball pop out or something?
No, they just drowned, really horrible deaths, that's all.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Now you feel bad, and I'm glad.
No.
You don't feel bad if it's the head exploding.
I feel bad they died, but I also feel bad, you know, that...
Oh, you feel bad there weren't heads exploding?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there might have been with the explosion at the front of the ship.
Right? Yeah, maybe. Possible. Maybe so, Buzz.
Yeah, the explosion itself might have caused heads to explode.
Hello, Todd and Mike.
If that helps.
The initial explosion could have been a head. Do you want me to rent you scanners this weekend? Just so you'll be satisfied?
And you can watch it in the bathtub.
Hello?
Don.
Yes.
Their heads wouldn't have exploded, but here's the thing. If there was a little hole where the water could have come through at a high pressure, it could have cut somebody in half or cut their head off.
Cut it clean off.
There you go.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And then it could roll down the stairs.
Oh, yeah.
Like whatever happened to Baby Jane or whatever that was.
You know, I logged some time this weekend with Full Metal Jacket.
Ah, it's all over. Kubrick's all over a cable now.
It was on Skinamax.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's why I got this fascination with heads and everything.
Hey, Joker.
Yeah.
Full Metal Jacket.
God damn, I love that movie.
But, you know, it is, the first half of that movie is so incredible. And then you can decide to hang around and watch the second half, which is a good movie, or you can just leave it right after they're done. Because Boot Camp, to me, is the best part of that movie.
You know, I have a greater appreciation for the second half. I agree that the first half is the best. When Private Pyle loses it.
The second half is a very, you know, strong anti-war kind of
yeah. You got that guy in the helicopter when Joker's flying over, and he's just like shooting at women and shooting at his children.
He's going completely berserk.
Right, out of his mind.
But you know, when I think Full Metal Jacket, I think, you know, Private Pyle. What is that, Private Pyle? Private Pyle, I do believe we found something you can do right. Born again hard. You have been born again hard.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I'm going to talk to Don and Mike.
Yeah, hold on. Oh, I know what I want to mention. The guy who stars, who's the guy who's Joker? Is that Matthew Modine? Is that
Matthew Modine is, mm-hmm. is Private Joker.
All right. I want to tell you another woman I'm real hot for. Hold on there on the phone. If you've ever seen the movie The Real Blonde, anybody seen that movie on
no,
cable?
I haven't, no.
Okay. You ever seen Being John Malkovich?
Yes.
Okay. She was in this movie with Matthew Modine and also in Being John Malkovich.
Mm-hmm.
The girl who worked in the office with John Cusack.
Okay, the girl that Cusack's in love with, that she doesn't dig him.
Right, the girl, she got like a bad nose and she got some bad teeth.
Yeah, but she's super sexy.
I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah, I agree with
she
you.
She does it for me.
Oh, I agree. She is not a perfect woman by any stretch of the imagination, but she has it going on.
And she's also in this movie, The Real Blonde. And I mean, she's really not my type. And I don't know why I'm drawn to her, because she's got a big beak nose. She has awful teeth that are all scrunched together. And if you've ever seen the movie The Real Blonde, she's not naked in it, but a lot of shots of her around, like in a wife beater shirt.
Oh, really?
She got nothing.
Oh, really?
She's flat as a board.
But she's dead sexy.
She is.
Hey, if you want to see Private Pyle, I went to see The Cell, that Jennifer Lopez movie, this weekend. And first of all, the movie is absolutely fantastic. Somebody said, Charlie talked about it being a music video. What it to me is, it's really like Silence of the Lambs meets The Matrix, and it's just the best part of both those movies. And it is fantastic. And, you know, anytime you're going to cast a psycho, you get Private Pyle, and it's a winner, and he's the psycho.
And he's lost tons of weight, right?
He's lost a reason. He's kind of dumpy in this movie, but he's playing a total psycho, and it's just fantastic. I mean, I haven't been entertained by a movie like that in a long time. I really love The Cell.
And you know another girl that I'm hot for who nobody else likes? I'm glad you like that girl, the girl who's in Malkovich.
That's the only thing I liked about that movie.
The girl, the redhead from Sex and the City.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, I'm telling you, she's hot. And over the weekend, when I was just flipping around, I landed on the movie Baby's Night Out. She's in the movie Baby's Night Out.
Really?
She has long hair.
Isn't Baby like the character?
Yeah, it's about a baby who gets kidnapped by these gangster guys. These like fake mafia guys. And the baby ends up, I think, driving. I've not seen the whole movie.
Isn't the baby have incredible superpowers?
I don't know. Oh. I just saw the very end where they're driving around in a car.
You see that redhead and you forget everything else.
But she had long hair. Long hair. Looked good with long hair.
Cynthia Nixon.
That's her.
She looked good last night, too.
Rob thinks she looks like Dave Foley. Frankly,
on a bad day.
I don't care. F you, Rob.
I didn't think she looked good when she was standing next to her refrigerator, when she was talking about the sandwich, making love to the sandwich man.
Oh, I thought so.
Oh,
I really thought so.
She looked good the previous week when she was lying in bed having the phone sex with the guy, but when she had that disgusting look, she can make faces that make her tremendously unattractive.
You know, the more I think about the four girls on there, the more that the one who everybody likes,
Kim Cattrall,
with the mole,
the blonde,
the more I think that she's the one I'd do last.
She's the dirty birdie of
the women. More that I see her, the more that I see what her body looks like and everything.
Well, I believe she's the most long in the tooth of all those actresses.
She might have hit the wall.
My number one is the brunette. Is the brunette that's getting married in the show. I still like Kim Cattrall, and I thought she looked good on The Swing last night.
Yeah, you like that.
Yeah,
that
was the Buzz Burbank scene right there.
Yeah, that was like a scene from your house. I remember the Taiwan basket.
You know, if you mount that thing properly, it won't fall down.
Yeah. You know, it seems to me Kim Cattrall, though, is the only one on Sex and the City that has really just said, oh, nude scene? Oh,
Okay.
Sure.
No problem. She's the only one see nude every single week, and I'd like to see the other ladies naked.
Just to give you an idea how old Kim Cattrall is, do you know she was the oversexed gym teacher in Porky's? Like a million years ago.
Really?
She's 44 today. She was actually, I saw her birthday, but she was.
You know who?
Hey, Rob, don't forget when we do the birthdays.
Well, that's why we did her first off.
Celebrity birthdays before our local birthdays.
You know who I'd like to see in Sex and the City is Ballbreaker. You know, the gym teacher.
Well, from Porky's.
Oh.
Yum. Bring it on.
Oh, baby.
I don't mean to sound queer, but I think it's a mistake for them to get rid of Mr. Big on that show.
Are they running him out?
He's done. Last night had to be his last episode. She broke up with him.
I mean, he'll come back.
I don't think so.
They can't stay away from each other.
They're giving him his own show.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, now he's not going to be Mr. Big. He's going to be whatever his name is, Chris Knopf or whatever the hell is that.
Weird last name, Knopf. N-O-T-H, Knopf.
Knopf. You know, I never watched that show. My wife got in the habit of watching it, and now she's watching it with me. Just watch Sex and the City together. Now I watch it.
Right.
Now, the one guy that I like on the show... She's done with him.
Yeah, and she's going to go back to that guy that does the Mustang commercials.
And
the
I
guy from Northern
like
Exposure,
John don't Corbett. Like him at all.
And has he gotten a little sloppy?
Yeah.
A little sloppy? Looks like a little sloppy fat, maybe?
Yeah.
He doesn't look like he's in leading man shape. I thought to be like those leading men, you had to have the super body.
Hello? Don and Mike show.
Your days of finger-banging Mary Jane Rotten Crotch through her little pink panties are over.
Okay.
Hey-ho, left, right, left,
lead it all, give him the sound courtesy of a reach-around, Private Pile. A great movie.
There will be a magic show. God loves Marines because they keep heaven filled with fresh souls. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jesus. Happy birthday to you.
That's great.
It is a great movie, dude.
How sick is this?
It is a great movie, dude.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don.
Yes.
I wanted to tell you what happens when people's bodies are in salt water too long. What happens is the smaller ocean creatures, first they eat out all their membranes, like their eyes and their brain and a lot of their organs. And then when you take them out of the salt water and you try to grab their skin, like their skin will just totally come off their body.
All right, thank you. Not as good as their heads exploding.
I don't know. I've actually seen it before, and it's pretty nasty.
You know, I might be willing to place a wager. We're going to be eating bugs on Thursday.
Okay.
Thursday is the bug-eating day because the last survivor is on Wednesday.
Right.
I might be willing to place another wager that somebody's head exploded down in that submarine. I don't know if they would ever be honest with the information about that.
I don't think we'll get that.
Like, if you're going to get a body count and they say, oh, yeah, this guy Vladimir... His head exploded.
So you'd be able to a wager that in some news story, the sentence "head exploded" will be in there.
Yeah,
it's have to be verbatim. Head exploded.
Yes.
What are you willing to wager?
Not much.
Will you eat my bug for me?
No, I won't. Hello, Don and Mike.
Can I tell you a secret?
Yes.
I see gay people. See you guys later.
Now that wasn't funny at all.
No, that wasn't.
No. I mean, first of all, you're talking about a movie that's 100 years old.
540.
Good. Get it, Robbie. Here we go. Justice, Don and Mike show, be thy name.
And if you're wondering what we're doing, an apology is warranted after that.
Right. Apology.
I mean, you know, it's like a hit and run.
The least
for goodness sakes, you can't get in an accident and just drive away.
No, you at least owe the audience an apology for that, leaving the scene of a bad joke.
Absolutely. Not a good joke, not related to anything. You know, just not good.
Doesn't work. Wouldn't work a week after the movie was out.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There you go.
Okay, thank
very
you.
Good. Thank you very much.
Don't F with us.
You got it, man.
Bye.
You're the man.
Thank you. It's the way you handle it, too. If you want it to be over quickly, give us that apology right up front. Don't make us beg for it.
Just beg us.
Hey, I'm sorry.
God, I love caller ID. Thank God whoever invented caller ID. That is a beautiful thing. We got to do a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Holy
sir!
A jelly donut?
Sir, yes, sir!
How did it get here?
Sir, I took it from the mess hall, sir!
Is jelly allowed in the barracks, Private Pie?
Sir, no, sir!
Are you allowed to eat jelly donuts, Private Pie?
Sir, no, sir!
And why not, Private Pie?
Sir, because I'm too heavy, sir!
Because you are a disgusting fat body, Private Pile!
Sir, yes, sir!
Then why did you hide a jelly donut in your footlocker, Private Pile?
Sir, because I was hungry, sir!
Because you were hungry.
Kind of like a 5-foot fecal coil of comedy. The Don and Mike Show.
He's the best. A drill sergeant.
Oh, man, nobody better.
You know who else is good? Sergeant Hulka in stripes.
Oh, fantastic.
The rest of this platoon will be doing KP. Hello. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi there. You're on the air.
This
is Don and Mike.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
This is Tina. I'm down in Fredericksburg. I've just moved to the area, and yeah. I'm very, very new to your show. And I like 99% of what you have on.
And you were great. Compelled to call us and let us know that there
I
was 1%.
I wonder if you know that I think you're hilarious.
Why can't you just make that a blanket 100%?
Why do you have to go and hurt our feelings? You know, we're very sensitive. And,
I know you're sensitive. I have gotten that, and I know you may hang up. Well, actually, you won't hang up on me. You'll tell me to hang up. But I thought you were a little insensitive about the gentlemen and people who lost their lives in the submarine.
Oh, but that's what you're upset about?
There's an explanation for that, ma'am. Let me tell you.
Okay.
What the explanation for that is, let me tell you something right now. You're dealing with one thing on this show more than anything else, and that's great patriotism.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't that long ago, as a matter of fact, not long enough, that country was the enemy.
Right.
And it's tough to get over that. It really is. Very tough to get over that because we're just American patriots and we can't help ourselves.
I am too.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the reason for that.
Those are commies over there.
They're still commies.
Whose heads might be exploding?
No.
Look at the way they handled the situation.
People.
Just like the old Soviet Union.
Huh? No. People
I can't
are not
judge them all by.
Yes, we can.
No.
Yes, we can.
Well, yes, we can.
Honey, I want to tell you something. Russians, no good. Germans, Japanese, never forget. That's my motto, never forget.
Well, I don't want to argue with you or fight with you or anything.
Well, Don's book that's coming out, I think, is it fall or winter?
Fall, Mike.
Don's book, Once an Enemy, Always an Enemy, will be coming out in stores this fall. And, right. And let me tell you something. That's where you quite effectively argue your point against. Once you pick the United States as an enemy, you're always an enemy.
Right.
Right. I understand what you're saying, but we have many, many people that have fought in wars and have come home. And
you know, here we are trying to have fun with this lady. Honest to God.
If you're offended by 1% of the show, then change 1% of the channel.
There you go.
I don't give a rat's ass.
Turn it down when you get offended.
Okay.
Thanks, gentlemen.
And listen, and the next time you call us,
I hope you have a nice afternoon.
Listen, you dumb bitch. The next time you call us,
don't call me a dumb bitch.
Listen, you dumb bitch. The next time you call, say you enjoy 100% of the show.
Communist whore.
How dare she? She says she likes 99% of the show.
Yeah, God. I mean, early in the week, she has to be that hurtful.
99%. Please, who does she think she is?
You know, then we're doing the whole, you know, that was pretty damn funny, the whole communist thing. And then
she's like, yeah, and another thing. All right. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike. John Kim.
Oh, John Kim.
John Kim.
John Kim, our Asian friend.
I have a question, man.
Yes.
Since I'm into big women and all that, just in case you didn't know, you know the areolas?
On big women?
On women in general.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you guys know if they flux in size, if they get bigger and smaller.
You mean if a woman gets fatter, does her areola area get bigger?
Yeah.
I would say there's a chance that could happen.
Probably, but probably not noticeably bigger.
I was just wondering, because if you look at the Darva Conger Playboy, she has, like, no areolas whatsoever. And I was just wondering, because she is a kind of petite woman.
Well, John Kim, the Darva Conger was airbrushed.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
Probably. Yeah, but are you saying what would you want to make her areola bigger, John? I mean, what's your point?
I'm just saying that for me, on a woman, areolas are the thing, man. There's nothing like having areolas.
Wait a minute,
you know?
John, I'm trying desperately to figure out what kind of moronic point you're trying to make.
I believe
here.
He wants more areola.
So do you think that women, like, what, can go into training to make them bigger?
No, I'm just wondering if a woman gets fat, if the areolas get bigger,
so
or if
your
gets
point
smaller.
Is Darva Conger ought to gain some weight, and maybe her areolas would be larger?
Yeah, possibly.
All right, there, and I finally figured out his point.
I think what he's asking is if women, when they get fat, you know, would it stretch?
No, I don't think so.
Stretch and make the areola bigger.
Well, I think if you had a woman with small nipples and small areolas, that would pretty much be what you have, fatter or thin.
John Kim, you should run American Beauty. And you should check out the girl in that who has Reese's peanut butter cups for areolas.
Absolutely.
Well,
enjoy
Bert, that. I hear that was a fake. That was a body double.
Who cares? I'm talking about when you see it, the boobs aren't fake. I don't care if it was really the actress or not.
Oh, John Kim, what's your experience been with large women?
I don't know. I talked to a doctor, and a doctor said that, yes.
Way to answer the question, John. You ever notice talking to John Kim is like talking through a door at an insane asylum? That's how good he listens.
What was the question again, Buzz?
What your experience with large women was. Did their areolas match or not?
They have considerable areolas. All the women I've been with had areolas, substantial areolas, not small ones like Conger, but I'm just saying.
I don't think he's been with a lot of them.
So
that,
you,
that could be.
So you don't like the breast as a whole, the nipple, you like just the brown skin around the nipple?
No, I like nipple, but I like if a person doesn't have big areolas, then that's like a turnoff for me.
How big are your breasts, John Kemp?
I don't know. I haven't measured.
You've seen him. He's got some tan middies.
Do you have large nipples or small nipples?
I have, like, somebody once told me that I have, for a Korean guy, I have Chinese-looking nipples because my nipples are kind of, like, slanted, so, you know.
Slanted nipples, God.
All right, John Kim, have you banged any fat girls recently?
Not lately.
When was the last time you had sexual relations, John Kim?
About a month ago.
Was it with a fat chick?
Yeah.
Oh, he's still doing better than Charlie Stossel.
Yes, he is.
Hey, did you see the title of the new Ricky Martin song?
Yes.
It's called She Bangs.
Really?
Yeah.
So my question to the audience is, if anybody
John Kim
knows
really
if they will call in
to that
and talk
too.
About areolas.
You know, John Kim really paid attention to that last statement you
my
made.
My question to the audience is, why is John Kim still on the line?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don. Hello, Mike.
Hi.
The reason that you don't see two of the girls naked on Sex and the City is because they have no nudity contracts.
Ah.
That's why Cottrell and Nixon are always the one stuck doing the dirty work.
Oh, what a drag.
Huh. Oh,
good. My little red-headed whore. Good for her.
She's got she shows some nudity.
Oh, she's been topless on the show.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
As I recall, didn't you at one time really not like the red-headed whore?
Yeah, at one time you liked Kim Cattrall. She was your number one.
Yeah, no, I've switched on that. Funny. One of my famous flip-flops.
Okay, I just wanted to be sure I was recognizing the hypocrisy.
No, it's...
How is that being a hypocrite? I simply said one was my favorite, then I changed my mind and said, you know, the more I watch the show, I like the redhead better.
Guys do that all the time, sir.
How is that being a hypocrite?
It's a man's prerogative to change his mind.
My mistake. It is Don's prerogative.
A person grows.
Right.
My hair grows, sir.
By the way, something. Why you care?
Why you care?
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don?
Yes, hi.
Hi, I just wanted to let you know that I think in reality that women's areolas do grow. Because having just had a baby not that long ago, I can tell you that when I was pregnant, I had some big boobs and big areolas.
Really?
And
your areolas got bigger?
Yes, they did.
Do you mean puffier, bigger, or do you mean...
I mean, in like, went from being quarter size to half dollar size.
Oh, really?
Wow.
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 Yeah.
How do you like yours? Do you like yours larger or smaller?
I'm trying to think if I noticed a difference. You know...
I think you like the bigger ones because you're calling and you're all proud of them.
Yeah, you know, I guess maybe that's true. There is something to be said about, well, of course, men appreciate bigger boobs and bigger areolas to begin with.
I don't think all men appreciate large areolas. I think that's a personal preference
type of
thing.
That's a John Kim thing?
Well, I think most men like large areolas.
I'm into large areolas.
I don't like super large areolas. No. I actually like total proportion, yeah.
Proportionately,
I don't like the areola to take over. You know, have you ever seen the areolas that are just...
Like the entire breast is an areola.
Oh my God, it's incredible. It looks like a helipad.
Well, honey,
no,
just
wait. I haven't seen that.
Wait until yours deflate. You wish you had them back.
Oh, they're already gone. They're already gone. The baby is 6 months old.
Oh, all right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, you see those that are just, you know, all areola, like, you know, right up almost to the collarbone.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
You crazy bastards.
Hey.
Regarding areolas, yeah, they grow just so, especially when women are pregnant, so that the baby can see what they want to eat, what they're going to eat.
I think that makes sense, probably.
Thank you, doctor. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yes, we are. Hi.
You guys rule the airwaves.
Thank you.
Love
you. Thank you.
You know, you didn't finish off the one clip on Full Metal Jacket when the guy's in the helicopter and he says, how can you shoot women and children? And the guy says, you just lead them a little more.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's the line.
That's a particularly sick scene out of that movie.
It is. There are a lot of sick scenes in that movie. That's why we love it.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
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 I know John Kim, and he's a real...
he's a real what? What does mean? Use the initials.
Well, he's an idiot. He's a liar. He doesn't know how to dance.
Is he hard to talk to?
Yeah, because he never stands still. Anyway, I have visual proof of the last woman that he was with.
Yeah.
And if you like, I can mail it to you.
You sound like you might be a big woman. Are you a large woman?
I'm an incredible woman. Just put it like that.
Okay. Are you in the John Kim discard pile?
Oh, hell no.
Hell no.
I discarded John Kim.
Are you a woman of larger carriage?
Yes, I am.
Very good.
I'm very proud of it.
So you were involved with John Kim?
No. I avoid John Kim at all costs.
Well, I thought, but you know him.
I know him because I see him all the time at the functions we go to.
Oh, you mean like at the fatty parties?
Yes, and I also know that most of the women avoid him. I also know that there's only one or two women there that will dance with him because he's such an idiot.
See, anybody who doesn't know, this guy John Kim, this Asian guy, he's so into fat chicks that he goes to, like, these meetings where fat people get together and have, like, picnics and stuff.
He's not in great shape, but he's not real fat.
No, but he goes because he wants to just make it with as many fat chicks
and
as he can.
That's what he wants to do.
I guarantee you that I know 99% of the women there, and none of them will have anything to do with John Kim.
Have you ever had a sexual relationship with John Kim?
Hell no. I don't even want to say hello to John Kim. That's what kind of an idiot he is.
Who is the celebrity you most resemble?
Cameron Manheim.
Oh, baby.
Gotcha.
How big are your areolas?
I don't know. You'd
sure
have to
you do.
My husband.
Take a look.
No, I mean, you see yourself in the mirror.
Look down your shirt. If you're as big as that chick from the practice, you could just...
They're rather nice.
You could probably poke yourself in the eye with them.
Dime, quarter, half dollar, frisbee.
They're rather nice. That's all I'm going to say. But the next time John Kim calls, ask him about the lady that he was with at the Silly Bash.
And the bathroom tongs.
Ask him about the lady at the Silly Bash where his picture's on the website.
All right, honey, whatever. Thank you. Everybody's got a vendetta with John Kim.
Ask him about the bathroom tongs and the 14 fried chickens.
I love Don and Mike show.
I like a small areola.
All right, thank you. Hello, Don and Mike.
You guys rule. Hey, I used to like big until I saw Darva and Playboy, and now I'm all over small, dime-sized chew toys. I'm telling you that. You gotta see that.
On Darva, I didn't see the Darva pictures.
It's airbrushed.
Oh, we're talking maybe dime, but...
it's airbrushed to hell, though.
Branches the other direction, you know what I mean?
Who knows what she really has happening there?
But if you're going to have small areolas on a lady like Darva, who's incredibly thin and in really good shape, it would be better than... I would say that if you had small ones on a large woman, it would be kind of nasty to look at.
Hello, Don and Mike. Oh, might be our problem. Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, yo, what's up? Hey, I guess, last week and a half, a buddy of mine sent me a link to a website where you can just catch kind of a glimpse of, they got a bunch of pictures, you can catch a glimpse of Britney Spears' areola, and I gave it to whoever answered the phone if you guys want to punch that up. But it looks like they're kind of big.
Well, you know, there's so many fake Britney Spears sites out there where supposedly she's had her boob pop out on stage and some guy with a camera, like, got a camera going up her shorts and you can see her pubes and stuff.
I hear all that, but this actually looks like it could be, like, you can just see a little bit of puffiness. It actually looks like it could be a little bit legit.
Okay, thank you. Hello, Don and Mike.
This guy's got, like, a big grease stain on his computer screen where his nose was pressed up again.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi, you're on the air.
Don and Mike.
Yes.
The last caller who's talking about Full Metal Jacket, He was completely wrong. It was come from Platoon.
No. You are wrong.
No, you're wrong.
I just saw the movie over the weekend, and it's with Joker and the other guy when they're flying to their assignment where they're going to meet Cowboy. When he meets back up with Cowboy, they're flying over these fields, and he's just shooting at women and children. That's exactly
right. Well, even though he says, look, you got to lead them more. You got to lead women less because they run slower. You know what I mean?
Huh? Listen, our point to you is...
Now he's got me, like, in all the Vietnam movies, and I don't think Full Metal Jacket Full Metal Jacket is the scene.
I think you're 100% wrong.
I'll bet you anything that scene that guy was discussing is from Full Metal Jacket. I just watched Full Metal Jacket this weekend.
And I think that there is also a scene in a helicopter in Platoon, but it's not the one where he does the, you know, that's very Kubrick.
Yeah, he says, how can you shoot women and children? He goes, you just lead them less. Yeah, I don't know. I think you guys might be...
No, the scene... Okay, I'll tell you what, genius. Someone will call us up with a movie. How would you like to put your phone number on the line?
No.
Oh, suddenly you're not so sure?
Well, no, I mean, I don't care. I don't care enough to put my number on the line.
I mean, you're wrong about that. I really think you're wrong about
that.
But
you call it... But you do feel strongly enough to call us and tell us that we're wrong.
Without a doubt. And I'm not a call... I'm not one of these people that, hey, I want to call John and Mike and kiss their ass. But, you know...
Well, good. John and Mike wouldn't appreciate that.
John and Mike probably think you didn't put a heck of a lot of thought into this phone call.
I said Don.
No, you said John.
Play back the tape.
Hey, now listen, now what's
Johnny argument?
Now,
because he wants to feel like a big man.
No, don't get me wrong. Because look,
you're wrong. You are wrong. We're getting you wrong because you are wrong.
You're wrong on two counts. You're wrong on Full Metal Jacket, and you did say John and Mike.
There's one scene. I'm thinking now of all the Vietnam movies with helicopter scenes. There's the one scene where the guy says, I think it might be Apocalypse Now, where the guy says, "Why do you sit on your helmet?" And he says, "So I don't get my blown off." And he laughs, and then he puts his helmet underneath him, too, you know. Then there's another scene, I know, when Charlie Sheen is on a plane, on a helicopter in Platoon. But I think the one where they're talking about leading the women, that's the really graphic. It's a nasty scene because it's real horrible what
you
guys
show,
doing.
They show people running around and he's just shooting them.
Right.
Who asked the question? Does Charlie Sheen ask the question?
No, it's not. Listen, dumbass. It's not Charlie Sheen. It's the guy who's going with Joker. The guy who left the post to go with Joker, the other photographer.
All right, well, I'm going to check this out tonight.
No. Don't check it out tonight.
I wonder if you're listening tonight.
Stay online.
That's right. I'll give you a call tomorrow.
No. Why don't you just stay online right now so we can prove you're wrong?
Let's get this proven right now.
Okay.
Because we got a lot of people. That movie is all over cable. We are certainly not the only guys that watch that movie. There are a lot of Full Metal Jacket aficionados.
And I'm sure somebody has the DVD right now and can call us up and play us the scene.
All right.
You want to hang in there?
Hey, listen, I love you guys. Yeah, sure, I'll hang in.
Okay, all right. Don't hang up. Don't make me call you back.
Of course not.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
All right, hold on, please. Anybody who has Full Metal Jacket, call in right now.
I mean, really, there are only, in my mind, four really decent Vietnam movies out there. You've got Full Metal Jacket, Apocalypse Now. You've got Platoon, and I think maybe The Deer Hunter. I think those are the four that are the real good ones. Right?
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike.
I don't count that Michael J. Fox as like one of the top.
That sucks.
Top five.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing? I got it.
Hold on. I got the guy with. Oh, now what happened there? The phone just went dead. The guy said he had the scene queued up. Hello, Don and Mike.
How you doing? Hello.
Hi.
Well, I was going to talk about the Full Metal Jacket thing.
What about, do you have the movie?
Turn your radio down, please.
I don't have the movie, but it turns out it's from...
turn your radio, jeez, turn your radio down.
Hold on, it's my friend. Hold on.
Please, goodbye. God damn.
These little exercises, sometimes.
I'm trying to think, I wish I had the DVD at home, I would just... Call home and
I don't. I'm trying to remember if there's any Charlie Sheen on the helicopter talking to anybody.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Ever shoot any women and children? Sometimes. How can you shoot innocent women and children? Easy. You just don't lead them as much.
What movie is it from?
It's Full Metal Jacket.
Bingo. Hold on. Now here's a guy who says he has the scene. Hello. Do you have the scene?
Yeah, I do. Joker. The guy turns to Joker and he says, you ought to do a story on me on account of I'm so great.
Well, then, if you have it queued up, just play it for us. Let us hear it.
I did until your receptionist there hung up on me. Now I'm past it.
Well, how tough is it to rewind?
How hard is it to rewind?
Don't answer a question with a question.
And then he hangs up. So there's no credibility there because
Hello.
He hung up.
Nope. Don and Mike show.
Yeah, you forgot one of the really good Vietnam movies.
No. Listen, real fast. We want to find somebody with Full Metal Jacket. What is
Hamburger
it?
Hill.
Not as good as the other ones, though. Not nearly as
category.
Good.
Hello, Don and Mike.
I'm a good listener. I turned down my radio. Did somebody tell you it was Platoon? That scene was from?
No, the scene is from Full Metal Jacket. I just saw
Full Metal Jacket. No. It's Matt Damien's younger brother. He's standing there with the shotgun.
Matt Damien.
What?
No, wrong, no, wrong, no,
it's
wrong.
Matt Damien.
Damn,
Matt Damien.
Please, idiot.
Ben Afflecked and Matt Damien.
Matt Damien. Jesus.
Actually, I think you're both wrong. It's from my favorite Vietnam movie, Forrest Gump.
Hello, Don and Mike.
I just saw it, and I know.
You're a liar. Your favorite Vietnam movie is For the Boys.
Hello? What? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, I wanted to talk about the areolas.
Oh, sure. But listen, if anybody has Full Metal Jacket, call right now, because we still have that guy on line 6. What about areolas?
That mine are, they do get bigger at different times. I just wanted to let them know that.
They get bigger? How do they get bigger? Why do they get bigger?
It just depends on the temperature.
Really?
If it's warm or if I'm really relaxed, they get big.
Really?
Yeah.
How big are they right now?
I don't know.
Well, look.
All you got to do is look down your shirt.
Yeah, take a look. Are you in a private place where you can look?
Not exactly. I'm in my office.
Hmm. In your office.
How does it feel?
Pardon me?
Just feel.
Yeah, just feel them and see if they're, you know, what state they're in right now.
Well, I've got somebody in my office. I can't really do that.
Who's in your office?
I better go.
Oh, come on.
Oh.
Everybody's playing with us today.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
What the hell is this?
I don't know.
That's not Full Metal Jacket, I'll tell you that.
Not from the soundtrack.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Well, Full Metal Jacket soundtrack is more of that.
Oh, it's also like, well, everybody's heard about the bird, about the bird, and the bird is a word. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, yeah, I got this theme.
Play it, please.
I got DVD right here. I got to find it real quick. I didn't know I was going to get through.
Oh, brother.
Put me on hold and come back.
Right, you're busy.
Sure,
welcome to Honk.
Thank you.
Welcome to Honk for Movies.
I live for your commands. Thank you. Line 4, here's a guy with it. Hello, Cam?
Yeah.
Play it.
Okay.
Hello, douchebag.
Hey, listen, I stand corrected.
Oh, now.
There you go.
I'm sure that's from Platoon.
I stand corrected.
You know, when are these dumbasses going to stop calling us? You know, there's a few things that we know. One of the things we know are the movies that we've seen 8 gazillion times.
Especially when you watched it just yesterday.
Yes.
All right,
there we go.
I stand corrected.
And we're waiting for two. Hold it. We're waiting for two words.
Okay.
We're waiting for two words. I'm
sorry. You don't hear that from me much.
There you go.
Nobody hears that from me much.
Yeah, I bet.
I'm usually 100% right.
I bet because you're a hammerhead.
Right. Thank you.
Hey, listen. All right.
Goodbye.
Bye, hammerhead.
Thank you for calling. Thanks for calling the John and Mike show. Bye.
Jerk off.
Oh, who's the jerk off?
At least,
hey, listen, you insulted me.
I didn't.
I said Don and Mike. I said
no,
Don and Mike.
All right, now I got to prove that now to you, too?
You just don't know when you're wrong, sir.
I got
to prove. I've been listening to you for 15 years.
Rewind the tape, Rob. You know, I just hate guys like you who just won't admit, you know, say what you will about me. When I'm wrong, I'll just say, you know what, I was wrong. Like the girl on Big Brother and her big ass,
right? Hey, Don.
I was wrong.
Big Don. I said I stand corrected and I apologize.
No, but you did say John and Mike.
Maybe you came out John and Mike, but Don and Mike.
Oh, now we don't even have to play the tape. You've already admitted you're wrong, so we need
to... No.
You want to hear the tape? You want to hear the tape so we can prove you're wrong again?
I would like to hear the tape, yes, absolutely.
And then you have to say, I'm sorry, I'm a hammerhead.
No hammerhead.
You have to.
Of course, there's going to be an apology if that's the way it came out to you guys, but...
If it's the way it came out to us guys.
Right.
You're putting it on us.
Listen, we didn't call you. You called us. You got two things wrong. You got the movie wrong, and you got my name wrong. And frankly, I don't give a rat's ass about the name. It's just a way of driving home what a hammerhead you are. and you just have a hammerhead that doesn't realize it.
Okay.
Really, the worst kind of hammerhead.
And you were dead wrong about that movie.
Yeah, I still corrected on that.
Your whole tone is like, you stand, Greg, but you still don't get it.
You find it yet, Robbie?
Yeah, hold on, we got it.
I don't want to be stuck.
Hold on, please. Stand by for more humiliation.
Try tape two.
Here we go.
One will call us up with a movie. How would you like to put your phone number on the line?
No.
Oh, suddenly you're not so sure?
Well, no, I mean, I don't care. I don't care enough to put my number on the line.
I mean, you're wrong about that. I really think you're wrong about
that. But you do feel strongly enough to call us and tell us that we're wrong.
Without a doubt. And I'm not a call. I'm not one of these people that, hey, I want to call John and Mike and kiss their
ass.
There it is!
All right. Did you hear it, sir? John and Mike.
There was a couple words mixed up in there or something.
No. Rewind it,
okay,
Rob.
Let's play it again.
I heard it. That's fine.
Let's hear it one more time.
No, it's fine.
Let's hear it again. Let's hear your mistake again.
And I'm not a call. I'm not one of these people that, hey, I want to call John and Mike and kiss their ass.
Okay. John and Mike.
John and Mike.
J as clear as a bell.
You owe us another apology.
Okay, listen. There's an apology coming with an explanation.
No. This is not apology with explanation. Another apology now.
I apologize for the John, but there was a just coming out of my mouth.
It doesn't matter whether it was like a problem speaking you had. The argument was whether you said John and Mike, and that's what you said. How it happened is irrelevant to the argument.
You were wrong about both things. You were wrong about Full Metal Jacket, and you missed smoke when you said my name.
And you were so sure.
That's because Mike holds the show, that's why.
Mike calls the show?
Yeah, he's carrying you, Don.
Oh, here we go. And now this strategy from the moron hasn't been used too much.
Okay.
I carry the show. Gee, we don't hear that one. It's the divide and conquer strategy, you jerk.
Yeah, what's next on your agenda?
It's pretty obvious that Mike carries the show. I mean,
let me tell you, and this is Mike talking here. This is something that's used by people when they can't come up with anything else to say.
You're defeated. You've been defeated.
Absolutely not.
And you don't have the balls to just admit it.
You've been outed as an idiot.
And you don't have the guts.
I haven't even got to this, you know, but...
You don't have the guts and the balls to just admit that I'm wrong. You don't come out and say, I'm wrong, I'm sorry. You just can't do it. You can't do it because you don't have the guts.
No, absolutely not. If I'm wrong about something...
You were wrong about something. I've done it twice.
No, you haven't.
An apology isn't continuing to try to bust balls. That's not an apology. An apology is just saying, hey, I was wrong, and then just letting it go. You can't do that, though. You don't have the balls. Do you?
I'll be the bigger man, and I'll let it go.
Then apologize.
I did it twice.
I didn't hear it.
Nor did I.
I want to hear it again.
You're going to have to play back the tape, just like you did for me to bust my balls.
Because you were wrong.
And I apologize for being wrong.
There you go.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank you. Apology not accepted.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to a good long segment with John Q. Hammerhead.
You're a dope man.
You guys have disappointed me thoroughly today.
Good.
We've disappointed you thoroughly?
We wear your disappointment as a badge of honor.
Honor, courage. Please.
You'll be getting those badges in the mail.
You've disappointed your entire family with this phone call.
We'll be getting those badges in the mail. Out of curiosity, what perchance could that mean?
My disappointment.
We will be getting your disappointment in the mail.
That is correct, sir.
Explain that to me, please. I love it when we go down this angle.
I think it's because we said we wear it as a badge of honor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
What do you mean by that?
I'm glad you caught up with the show, Mike.
Well, I thought Mike was carrying the show. See, now he's turned on you, Mike.
Mm-hmm. He's turned on me. What a shame. We were going to be such good friends.
You know, when are guys like you going to figure out you really should have just hung up 5 minutes ago?
What are you doing? You've been busting my balls for 5 minutes.
You deserve it. You deserve every inch of it.
You called. When you called, you couldn't just say, hey, you know what? I think you guys might be wrong about the movie. You called. You were very assertive. Mm-hmm. You're positive you were right. We proved you wrong.
At that point, I said I stand corrected.
After you were proven wrong and an apology was forced out of you, yeah, you finally came around. It is extremely rare that three of us hate a guy this much.
We do, though.
We do today with you. It's a new record holder.
Who's the third one over there?
That would be Buzz.
Buzz?
Yeah, hi.
Buzz, now I'm very disappointed. I'm going to have to hang up now.
Yeah. Well, good. It must be us. It couldn't be you.
We're waiting for you to hang up.
No.
John Q. Hammerhead, the dumbest man in the world.
Come on, we're waiting for you to hang up. So you can go watch Platoon and see your favorite scene.
I guess it's going to be a long movie.
Or you could actually continue to listen to the John and Mike show.
Right.
Yes?
John Q. Hammerhead and John Q. Hammerhead 2, I'm sitting here speaking to.
This is the problem. Guys like this are walking around.
I don't
around.
Understand why I'm getting my balls busted so much.
Because you won't.
I apologize for it.
Then hang up.
You know?
Then hang up. Stop hanging around.
Listen, you guys get all the
You know what?
Power.
You know what? Seriously, a listener would be able to explain to this guy why he's getting his balls busted.
Sure.
If we can't, the rest of your partners in crime could explain to you why you're getting your balls busted.
If you don't want to get your balls busted, hang up.
No. I called you to talk to you in a nice fashion.
No, you did not.
No, you didn't.
No, you did not.
Well, as soon as I found that I was wrong, I admitted it, which is not often.
Well, you admitted you were wrong about the platoon, and then you didn't admit you were wrong about John and Mike. Then we proved that you were wrong on John and Mike, and then you didn't admit it. You were not nice about it.
Hey, listen, it's just like your general manager, you know? I'm almost the worst together. You got all mixed up.
What?
You're nothing like a general manager. You're an insult to general managers, and I hate general managers.
There's nothing that we did wrong. Nothing at all.
We were perfect, as always.
Absolutely. Batting 1,000. Batting 1,000, and you were 0.00.
Mr. Blutarski. Listen, that was another comment that was way out of your league.
Absolutely over your head.
But rent Animal House sometime.
That wasn't from Animal House. It was from Porky's.
That's right. Right. Come on now, just hang up.
Hey, listen, I'm not going to be one of those callers that backs down. I'm going to be here.
You're not going to back down. Why? Because you're such a big man?
You're such a big tough guy?
No, I'm not saying it at all. Not even a little bit.
I'm going to leave this line on hold. And I'll check back with you from time to time throughout the show to see just how long you're willing to show us what a big man you are.
Yeah, I've already determined you're on a cell phone. I'll tell you right now, I look forward to this.
I got about 10 minutes to reach my destination.
There's your out. Okay, that's fine.
Hold on. I'm just going to put you on hold so you can listen to some of your peers. Hello?
Oh, his cell phone's breaking up.
Yeah.
God may be intervening.
God knows we have to play commercials.
The merciful God.
He's merciful to this guy. Hello?
Well, I don't know. Hold on. Let me see what else is doing here. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, what an idiot. He should have hung up like a half hour ago.
I know, but you know why we can't let guys like that go.
Oh, yeah.
Does it mean I have an abnormal personality that I enjoy this so much?
You get a guy like that who thinks he's really shot hit.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, John. Hi, Mick. How are you?
Hey, buddy.
Listen, can I please explain to Mr. Hammerhead what's wrong with him?
Well, I can't conference the lines together now, so I just hope he's listening on hold.
Okay. First of all, it's okay to disagree with Don and Mike, but when you're proven wrong, simply apologize, hang your head in shame, and hang up. It's that simple.
All right. Thank you. Someone gets
you're welcome.
It.
Have
Thank
a nice
you.
Day.
Bye-bye.
You know, in this forum, it really is, I mean, if you're wrong, you're wrong. You have to, and it happens on both sides. It's not always us. It's not always the listeners. And you know, when somebody wants to go all the way with it.
We'll take it all the way.
We take it all the way.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Ronaldo y Miguel. Como si. Está?
Right, hi.
That guy was a total idiot. But this, I listen to this. You were talking about this a second ago. Listen.
That's good Vietnam music.
It is indeed.
Oh, and now I just remember my favorite Vietnam movie of all time.
What?
Good Morning Vietnam. Jeez, that sucks. Hey, you still there? You still there?
Who's the leader of the fact that they for you and me? When they're all singing that?
Yeah.
They're walking along.
You know what? I can't even clear out that line. I don't know if he's still there or not.
Ah.
The number of your last incoming call was 240.
Grab it, Robbie.
Line 6.
Is that him?
Yep. Cool. Too much fun.
Hang up there.
It is.
Hang up there. I need one more time. Go ahead. Hang up. Punch it out. Hang up there.
Oh, okay. Fast, fast, Ed, fast.
It's already gone.
Never send a boy to do a man's job.
No, I failed you once again.
Once again, you did.
You lost again.
All we know is area code 240. Well, you can run, but you can't hide, Hammerhead.
He's out there, John Q. Hammerhead.
Hey, is this the guy who gave us the scene?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Hold on. A prize for you.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you. Hold on, please. Will you get dinner at the Macaroni Grill? Hold on. Broyhill just brought the guy's number in. Robbie, your hands just shake too much when it's time for you to do the Star 69.
I'm sorry about that.
That's all right. That's why I love you. Such a peaceful fellow. The gentle giant, Rob Spiewak. My giant.
There's a lot of evil.
Mike.
There's a lot of evil in that giant.
Yeah.
Don and Mike, you guys hung up on me.
No.
I was in there for the run.
Listen. We didn't hang up on you. Your cell phone died.
Everybody that was listening heard your cell phone die. We kept the line open until there was literally no way to hear you again.
Which is why I Star 69 called you back. You're on the air. Did you hear your peers telling you what an idiot you are?
I understood that the people that are losers in life and just want to give up and quit. Yeah, they want to hang up.
Yeah, they're not winners.
They quit in life and everything they do.
They're not winners
they're
like
not
you.
Nobody.
What do you call a guy who doesn't quit when he's wrong?
No. I admit when I'm wrong, and I admit it twice when I'm wrong.
No, I don't believe Mr. Burbank said that. I believe he said, what do you call people that don't quit when they're wrong?
That quit when they're wrong?
What do you call people who don't quit when they're wrong?
No, I accept people who admit when they're wrong, but never quit.
So your point would be that no matter how incorrect you are, you would continue to argue.
No.
Looking more and more foolish.
Hey, listen.
Continuing to look like a moron.
You guys are always arguing with me. I'm not trying to argue with you.
What do you mean we're always arguing with you? How can we always argue with you? This is the first time you've ever talked to us. How can we always be arguing with you?
Or is it?
It's this entire conversation. And Don, it's the second time you've talked to me.
Well, how am I supposed to know? All you dum-dums sound the same to me.
No, you just called me back.
So would this be the second time that we've spoken with you? Or have you ever called the show before?
I've never called the show before.
Okay.
All right, then why would you say we always argue with you?
This entire conversation.
Oh, okay. So you're speaking about this one conversation.
But you started the argument.
And then I admitted that I was wrong.
No, under force.
But
you guys
won't give up.
Insisted and persisted to argue with me about it. Just, you know, I guess.
Yeah, because because we owe that to our listeners. You're a big, big dummy.
And you're wasting everybody's time. And
no,
you may
no,
be able
able to get
everybody's time.
You may,
not me.
You may be able to get away with this in everyday life.
God forbid there's not a Mrs. Dum Dum. You're not. There's not a Mrs. Hammerhead, is there?
But you're accountable on this show for your actions.
Yeah, I think I'm behaving fine.
Are you? Is there a Mrs.? Are you married?
No.
Of course you're not.
Thank God.
Thank God for that.
Thank God you're
right. There is a woman that wants to be Mrs.
I bet.
She does. And yeah. When does she get out?
July.
Listen, I just want to say something. You're out of your depth.
Way out. You're down at Russian submarine depth.
Your head's waiting to explode.
Really?
Just give it up.
What am I giving up? I haven't done anything.
Yeah, well, you said that we hung up on you, so now we have to prove once again that you're going
to
hang up.
And first. I'd like to point out again that the whole time this guy's been on the phone, mm-hmm. even when we called him back,
mm-hmm.
he's going to be the one who's paying for it on
right.
his cell phone.
Absolutely.
So if you'd like to stay on the line for an hour, it's fine with me, unless you're so stupid that you think because you're calling an 877 number that it won't show up on your bill.
That's a possibility.
No,
I don't know where area code 240 is.
It's Maryland. It's I'm right around the corner from you guys.
All right. You brung up a nice hefty bill, though, today.
Absolutely.
No, not even a little bit.
Sure. Well, that's fine, too.
I get 600 minutes free.
Well, good. We'll use all 600 of them.
Okay.
All right.
At 601 second, I'm going to hang up.
Mm-hmm. And today is August 21st. How much of your 600 minutes have you used thus far in the month?
I just got back from Italy yesterday, so I'm starting a brand new month.
You just got back from Italy?
Yes.
What were you doing in Italy?
I was vacationing.
You vacationed in Italy?
Yes.
That's a lie.
Yeah, I don't think
he's cultured. Hey, listen,
cultured.
I don't BS anybody.
I don't think he's cultured enough to have vacationed in Italy. No.
Maybe Little Italy up in Baltimore. But that's about it.
I think he's lying, too.
No, not even a little bit.
He's the kind of guy that will quite often probably stretch the truth for his own argument.
No,
profess
not
to be. I bet quite often you profess to be an expert on subjects you know nothing about.
Like Vietnam War movies.
Absolutely.
You guys got me pegged completely wrong.
Uh-huh. No, I don't think so, because I think you just proved one of our points, and Don's right about Vietnam War movies. You called in being the expert, and you didn't know what you were talking about. I'm sure that happens to you quite frequently.
No, it doesn't, and I'm embarrassed for being wrong, because it doesn't usually happen.
Right.
Well, it doesn't happen in your own mind, but it probably happens to friends and coworkers all the time around you. They're saying, oh, there he is, wrong again. But don't argue with him. He'll never stop. He will never cease the argument.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he's dead wrong.
Once again, you guys fail to realize what you guys are talking about.
right, because we're so dumb and you're so smart.
I'm not saying that. These are the conclusions you guys are drawing.
Sure.
And that
right.
makes up for an ignorant person.
What?
Is drawing conclusions.
All right, let me see. You're
don't know about.
You're calling us ignorant. Who would
no,
be?
I'm not saying you guys are ignorant. I'm saying that a procedure was made
that
an ignorant person does.
You're the ignorant person. You called us professing something that was incorrect.
Yeah, well, that happens every day. You know,
I thought it never happens to you.
I made a mistake.
I thought it never happens to you. I thought it happens very rarely.
Exactly. It happens very rarely. And
well, you just said it happens all the time.
I made a mistake.
You just said it happens all the time.
I just said it happens all the time?
Yeah, do I have to play you that tape, too?
You did.
You just said that.
No, this doesn't happen to me all the time.
Well, which is it?
You said it happens all the time. Oh, I see. It happens to everybody else all the time. It just doesn't happen to you all the time.
That's correct.
Because you're so happening.
But it happened to you.
I'm not saying that either.
It happened to you today twice.
Coincidentally.
On the radio.
Oh, it was a coincidence that you screwed up twice.
Right.
Today, notwithstanding, when's the last time you got something wrong? A fact, a figure, a statement? When's the last time?
I can't pinpoint it, but, you know, obviously, you've been wrong about things. I've heard you be wrong.
Oh, I'll freely admit, I was wrong about something probably 3 or 4 times this morning.
Yeah, me too.
Well, that's, you know, I'm the same guy, you know?
Well, no, wait.
Oh, okay.
Wait,
okay.
No, well, you just said that you very infrequently make mistakes. Now you're telling us you have made mistakes, errors in judgment, as early as this morning?
I'm just saying I'm the average guy. You guys are...
You were saying you are above average.
This is what you're good at, you know?
You were saying you are above average, that you don't make mistakes.
And I would tell you that we could make a pretty good case that you're not the average guy.
Mm-hmm. Right, you would be B.A., below average.
Below average, yeah, I understand.
Or even into that other category, abnormal.
Abnormal.
You would be in that category simply because of your behavior today. The average guy wouldn't be putting himself through what you're putting yourself through.
Which is?
This entire exercise. The average guy
would have hung up 20 minutes ago.
Would
have just said, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you're right.
No, yeah, I admitted that you guys are right. But, if you're going to still bust my balls, then I'm not going to hang up and just turn my back on you.
I would tell you that the average guy wouldn't do that.
The
abnormal guy.
No. What you're confusing for the average guy is your average listener.
No. Just an average guy.
Average guy wouldn't stay on the line as long.
Average guy wouldn't call the show. Average listener wouldn't even call the show.
True. The abnormal guy is the guy who wants to get in a pissing match with us.
Yeah.
When you know you can't win.
Well, if you want to put dicks on the table, I'll win.
That doesn't surprise me that you
right.
think yours
because
is larger
again,
than it is.
Because you've got a gigantic penis. And you never make mistakes. Or hold on. Occasionally you make mistakes. No, wait. You made mistakes as early as this morning.
Everybody makes a little mistake here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
But not everybody's so cocksure about it and refuses to back down until they've been proven wrong. Everybody makes a little mistake. Some people make big mistakes.
Like your mama.
All right, now you want to get into this.
Absolutely.
Hey, your mom's so fat she needs to wash her diet soap.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay, come on now. Listen, bring it on.
Nah, this is so stupid.
It's so stupid now. Now it's stupid? You know, when your mom was blowing me today, she said, and I couldn't...
Listen, make sure you say hi to my... retarded son when he calls your show today.
That's what she said. Yeah. I couldn't be sure, though.
Yeah, well, I couldn't be sure because it sounded like you actually had a cock in your mouth.
I'm glad that dropped out because I'm not...
I don't know. I don't know what that comeback was.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes?
How you doing?
I'm hanging in there.
How you holding up?
Hey, I'm fine. You know, you guys can do this all day, you know?
Yep. Yes, we can.
We could, absolutely.
Yes, we can.
That's the first thing you've said that's been correct.
This is your show.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely.
So you've made a statement that I'm a bad caller, that...
I don't think we've made a statement. I think we've made an example.
And you're still hanging on the line.
I think we've made an example of you, and I think it's been a marvelous example.
Right, but why would you want to do that to yourself? This is...
Because I would venture to say there are many, many people that are finding this highly entertaining.
Right.
I know I am.
I am.
Lots of people come in contact with people like you and wish that they could call them on it the way that we've called you on it. Lots of people in everyday life run into people, stupid people, who think they know everything. And you just can't stop and tell every stupid person who doesn't know everything that they're stupid and they don't know everything.
Hey, listen, I never said I knew everything. I'm just saying I made a mistake about the movie Platoon, which I was corrected upon. And then I was willing to back down at that point, but you guys started busting my balls.
I don't think it's my opinion. You were never willing to back down.
No, I'm not going to back down.
You made two mistakes. Why don't you just say, I made two mistakes, I'm sorry, and hang up?
I've said it like three or four times.
Hey, no. I believe what Don said. Hold on. What Don said to you is, why don't you say, hey, I admit it, I'm sorry, I made two mistakes and hang up. That's what he asked you to do. You said you did that. No, you didn't do that. That's what we want you to do.
Just do it right now.
Okay, listen. All right, here. I made two mistakes. I'm very sorry.
Now hang up.
But
he didn't learn.
You can't do it.
But
because you're abnormal.
Obviously, no, that's not abnormal.
Yeah, that's very abnormal. Oh, yeah.
That's a man with integrity.
No,
no, that's not a man with integrity.
Somebody busted my balls.
No, a man with integrity would have been gone a long time ago.
You deserve to have your balls busted because you were wrong and because you think you're all that.
No, I don't think I'm all that. Not even a little bit.
A man with even a scotch of self-respect would have hung up 20 minutes ago.
Amen.
What does that have to do with self-respect?
Because you're coming off like the world's biggest idiot.
You're embarrassing yourself.
You don't realize that? You think you're making some macho stand?
No, not even a little bit.
Not even a little bit. He says that a lot. Not even a little bit.
Yeah, so I'm not trying to come across some macho guy. I'm not
then why don't you just hang up?
Because the busting of the balls...
See, it's a like macho thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can't stand it.
You can't handle it.
You deserve to have your balls busted because you called us and you were wrong. You get
If I hang up the phone, if I hang up on you guys, then you guys are going to... cry like little girls saying, I won.
We've already won.
You didn't win anything.
No way. There is no way we would do that.
Absolutely not.
Especially if you didn't want us to. If you didn't want us to do that, if you said, hey, I was wrong, and you hung up, we would not gloat about it.
Yeah, there's the comedian again.
What do you mean, the comedian again?
And that's exactly the opposite of what you guys will do.
He may have caught me there.
All right, listen, dummy. I don't know what to tell you. I'm going to leave you on hold. I'm going to go to commercials. I'll come back. If you're not there when I come back from commercials, no. I'm going to assume that you hung up and you finally admitted you're a loser.
Listen before you put me on hold. I'm at my destination. I'm going to hang up the phone.
So
I'm going to be the bigger man here.
Quitter. You can't stand the fight.
Another victory.
Quitter.
And, this is exactly why I listen to this show.
All right.
You are such a quitter.
Big quitter.
Quitter loser.
No, Mike, he's a winner. Remember, he's a winner in life.
All right.
Because winners, they don't admit when they're wrong.
No, I admitted twice when I was wrong.
You lost again.
Okay, well, if you're at your destination, why don't you hang up?
All right, Don. Mike, you will hear from me again. I will say that.
We won, quitter.
Bye, loser.
You will hear from me again.
We're smarter. We're faster. We will always beat you.
There you go.
Yay.
There you go. We went way too long with that, but Jesus, he just is one of those guys.
Yep, absolutely.
One of those guys. God damn it, why do they always have that stupid hillbilly accent?
I don't know. I don't know, John.
Jesus.
I tell you right now.
Jesus Christ.
I'd like to die.
Jesus.
You will hear from me again.
Oh, I've just pissed my pants. I'm scared. I'm real scared. Jesus.
Wow, that was... How long were we on with that guy?
40 minutes. It was a long one.
Funny.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike is one of the millions of peons out here who get cracked on every day and don't get to talk back to people like that. I want to tell you that it's horrible radio, but it makes you feel good to talk back to people like that.
I want to tell you something. It's beautiful radio.
Absolutely.
And, you're wrong about that. That was a beautiful thing.
So thank you very much, and you will hear from me again.
Thank you.
Wow.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
What's up, Don and Mike?
Hey, buddy.
What's up, Buzz?
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Man, this guy, what a freaking retard, man. What the hell was that? It was entertaining, but damn, that guy is a dumb son of a bitch.
Yeah, he is. Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike show. He's a great part of the show, though.
It was.
I thank him for that.
Yeah, we have to thank him for that.
Sure. You'll be hearing that again in about 6 months.
Absolutely.
Probably during Christmas vacation. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Dan and Mark. Beep.
Hi.
How are you?
Great.
This is Tiny. I met you a few months ago at the Slap Off.
Hi, Tiny.
Oh, I remember you.
How are you?
Yeah, you're not Tiny.
I just had to say, this guy, I refuse to accept this guy's blanket indictment that everybody who agreed that he was an idiot was a loser. And you know how sensitive I am, and that just really affected me.
All right. Hey, sorry, what did you do for that? Did you hang up on him already?
No.
What did you do for that sub?
Tiny?
See, this guy's worried about getting his balls busted about that. I've had my balls busted about for six freaking months now.
You're too big, and I don't want to bust your balls. I forgot what it was. It was something about a meatball sub, right? At, what was the place?
Oh, Enrico's.
Enrico's. What did
it's
you
a
do?
Beautiful place.
What did you do for the sub?
I just asked a guy, you know, hey, I would really like to have a meatball sub, and he bought it for me.
Uh-huh. No, there's more to it than that, Tiny.
Tiny, come on, just help us out here.
Hey,
we can't.
Let me tell you something. I'm at my destination.
Okay, I'll let you go. He's not going to tell us the rest of the story. Rob, do you remember it?
Yeah, unfortunately, Tiny went and pleasured himself. Tiny, the self-abuser, went in, and all I can say is that he got his meatball sub.
Hello, Don and Mike.
I love the smell of Hammerhead in the morning. It smells like victory.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Jesus. Hello. Oops. What am I doing?
Yeah. I wanted to tell you guys that when you put people on hold, they actually do win.
Huh?
When you put people on hold, when you're having the pissing contest with them, and you go, well, I'm going to put you on hold and I'm going to come back to you later, they win because you can just put them on hold for 4 hours. They're right. Staying with you, though. You got to keep them on the air for 4 hours.
Well, no, we have to play commercials.
For commercials.
And that's what I meant. At some point, we have to take a break.
And it's still their cell phone.
They win.
No, they don't.
No way.
No way. And we could do the same thing to you.
No, I can stay as long as you put me on hold for only the commercials. I will stay on for the rest of the show. But I have to be on with you guys.
And it's the same guy.
I have to be on. This is another guy. I'll explain it to you again. I'll explain it to you. I'm not going to do the same thing we just did with the last guy for 40 minutes with you.
That would be too much.
No,
call tomorrow.
I understand that.
But listen, we defeated him. We would defeat you.
Yeah, and call tomorrow, but call on a cell phone.
I'm on a cell phone now.
Right, and how many free minutes a month do you get?
I only get, I think, 100.
100. So I tell you what, if you want to be a big man and call tomorrow, call at 3 o'clock when the show starts.
It'd be far too repetitive to do this again, to go through with another idiot like you again.
But if you'd like, I'll be glad to put you on hold and check in with you from time to time.
Who was wrong during this conversation so far already?
You're an idiot.
That would be you, Mike.
You are a total idiot, sir.
How was Mike wrong?
He said, call back when you're on a cell phone. And I said, I am on a cell phone.
I was absolutely wrong.
If all you guys...
But you are still an idiot.
You're an idiot.
Hey, if all you guys out there are so smart, how come you're driving around and you're listening to us on the radio and it's not the other way around?
Because it's entertaining to listen to you. You can be an idiot and still be entertaining.
Like you?
Look at Dennis Murphy.
Now, you just see, you're a guy that thinks he's qualified to do what we do, and you're not.
Who said I was qualified to do what you did? Did I ever say that?
That's what you think. That's what you're doing right now.
You think you are getting into the arena.
I don't think I can be as funny as you guys.
You're getting into the arena with the gladiators. You know,
because I'm trying to make a point to you guys.
No, you're just like the other guy, and we'll beat you. We will win.
How will you win?
I've already proven
to you that you won't.
Hold on.
Do what I say.
You have already been defeated.
How have I been defeated? I'm still on the phone with you.
It's not a question of who's on the phone. You're an idiot.
That was my point when I called you. I said, if you just put people on hold for 4 hours and you never have to talk to them, of course, that doesn't count. That doesn't count for anything. You're a big man when you stay on the phone and you bust their balls for 4 hours.
Now, you see, it's not the same thing, though.
Well, how is it not the same thing?
Because you're an idiot.
You're the idiot because you've already been proven wrong. So I tell you what, you're in the loser box, Mike, so why don't just Don and I converse for the rest of this conversation?
You know something? You are born in the loser box when your mama decided to have you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's a good one. That's a good one, Mike.
And she should have made the decision. If she had made the decision to abort, your mother would have not been a loser, but your mama's a loser, too.
Really?
Now, listen, guys like you, really.
I mean,
you know what you should do?
Are we going to go back to 12 years old? You want me to go, I am rubber, you are glue, whatever bounces off me sticks to you?
You know, why do guys like this...
I mean, that's just idiotic.
Why do you feel the need to call and get in the arena with us? This is what I don't understand. You're not qualified.
And you know what you are, sir? And here's what you are. You're more than an idiot, more than a loser. You are unoriginal. You are not
unoriginal.
You are unoriginal. Yeah,
okay.
We were just on the phone for 40 minutes with that guy, and you can't come up with the new concept. So you want to do just what he did, and you're unoriginal, which is the worst thing you can call somebody.
Absolutely not. I was calling to say that if you put
you're unoriginal.
That doesn't count.
You're unoriginal,
and
pal.
Listen, for the last time, if we had to put that guy on hold, it would be to play commercials. Okay?
No, said you were going to put him on
as
hold,
it is
and
right
you
now.
Back in 4 hours later.
As
you said, Don, play the tape back.
As it
Don's
is.
Don's wrong. He's in the loser's box.
You're unoriginal,
not just me
sir.
And Buzz can talk.
This is the old stuff. You're unoriginal. It's an idea that you had to steal from. You had to steal that idea
from an idiot,
from Johnny Hammerhead, because you couldn't come up with an honest concept on your own.
Alls I was calling in was to say
alls. Alls. What kind of word is alls?
4 hours. That doesn't count.
What kind of word is alls? Alls I. What is that? ALLS. What is that in the English language? Alls I was.
In my language.
Alls I was.
Yeah. All I said, I was calling.
Is that with a Z or an S, moron?
I spelled with an S, gay boy.
Gay boy?
Yeah.
Oh, now with a little homophobia entering into it now.
I thought we were going to go back to seventh grade and just make some comments, so I thought I would go with gay boy.
You know, this is another guy. I don't know why. Listen, I don't know what. If you were beat up when you were a kid, if you're unhappy with your job, if you're ugly, if you don't get laid or not, I don't know what the problem is. Hold on, time out.
Go ahead.
Regardless. If I said to that guy, I'll put you on hold and come back to you, it would be because, believe it or not, at some point, and I've just been told this break has gone over an hour, even I get bored with arguing with dummies like you.
But technically, we still would win, because you know what? We could put you or the other guy on the line, and we could keep the cell phone open. Seriously, we could do it through our show. We could tell the next show, leave that line on hold. Tell the next show after that. We could go all the way through.
Having me on hold doesn't prove that you're a winner.
Yes, it does.
Being a winner is you sit here and you bust my balls for 4 hours, and you force me to hang up. Then you won.
I was wrong about the cell phone. You're wrong about that point. You're dead wrong.
No, I'm not. When you put me on hold, that's like me going, okay, I'm going to win. I'll put you on hold.
All right, listen, I want to tell you something.
Hours.
Let me just explain one thing to you. The easiest way that we can win any argument with anybody calling us is to hang up on them.
And we can delay what you say. If you say something we don't like, we can delay. We don't do that.
Right?
We don't do that on this show.
Well, you do it. You may not do it to me right now.
We do it if there's something. We do it if there's something that is so off the wall that we can't broadcast it.
But beyond that, anything goes.
Okay.
So you're arguing
a
point.
What is that point?
The point that we're making is you're wrong. You're wrong. You are saying that by putting somebody on hold during commercial breaks, the caller wins. And I'm telling you that's absolutely not wrong. It's your cell phone, and it can stay on for 24 hours, and we win. Technically, the reality of the situation is that we win. We're not paying for it. You're paying for it.
So whoever's paying for it loses then?
I think that
does. That doesn't make any
sense.
Like,
and right now,
nothing to do with it, whoever's paying for it.
Right now you're paying for it because in 30 days you're going to get a bill that says, hey, look, it, I made a 20-minute phone call.
And not only are you paying for it, sir, but we're getting...
It's actually a 7
Hold on. Let me tell you something. Not only are you paying for it,
right.
Here's the best part. We're getting paid for it.
Oh.
We are, buddy.
Okay, you're going to get paid for whether or not I called you or not.
Right.
Me calling you doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
Well, that's another true fact. You are insignificant.
It's costed me so far, even if I go over my 3 minutes, it's costing me 70 cents. Oh, my gosh.
Well, you know what would be a good challenge for you?
You guys should be.
Would be a good challenge for you to go 24 hours.
Yeah, if you're such a big man.
You won't be there for 24 hours. You talk to me for 24 hours.
No.
Stay with you for 24 hours.
I'm not going to junk up our show. Why should I junk up our show?
You guys hang up on me.
Why should I junk up our show for 24 hours with an idiot like you?
That would not be entertaining. The last guy.
Of course not.
It would not be entertaining because it's unoriginal.
It wouldn't be entertaining.
No, it would not be entertaining because...
If you kept me on and made
me
hang up.
I tell you what, you want to get a pissing match? We're going to be at Nation on Wednesday night doing a live appearance. You really want to get in a pissing match? You want to get in a staring contest? You want to get in a screaming contest? You want to see who's got more guts? Come to our Las Vegas-style show.
I don't want to get in any contest with you. I just want by putting people on hold, you defeat the purpose.
No, but that's wrong.
That's like playing the name game. That's like playing the name game and me just sitting here and never answering you.
You can wait a minute.
In every 20 minutes giving you a name.
And you can argue that.
Man.
You can hold on. You can argue that for as long as you want, but you're wrong and we will disagree, and that's just the way it is. You're wrong.
We may disagree. That doesn't necessarily mean I'm wrong.
No, you are wrong.
You're wrong.
You are wrong.
Well,
if you want to settle this, come to the Las Vegas-style show Wednesday night. Otherwise, I'm going to hang up on you, and as I hang up on you, I declare another victory for the Don and Mike.
Hey, victory for us.
It is a victory. It is a victory.
Just like you can declare that you're a good play-by-play guy, you can declare that all you want doesn't make it true.
I am.
That I'm 6'10". That doesn't make it
true. I am a good play-by-play guy.
You are awful. You are awful.
How many times have you ever done anything like that? Oh, that's right. Hold on.
Okay.
Never.
I haven't done it ever.
Never.
You claim that I can do it. Good. Just say, you know what? I did it. You didn't do it.
What do you do for a living?
You're better than
Not
you
only did I do it, I did it well.
You did not do it well.
I did.
You did it well.
Sir, Excuse me, I hate to stop you right here. Hold on.
Just as many people that say you weren't good.
Hold on.
Mike, go ahead.
You have to, you know what? You said I was wrong about the cell phone.
You were.
You called Don, a play-by-play guy. He was the color commentator. You are wrong.
I was wrong.
Loser.
I was wrong about that.
And like you called me a loser. You're a loser, too. You were wrong.
And I'll have to ask again, what do you do for a living? Because I'll tell you, in my field, I do this. I do the Redskins pregame, and I branched out to do something new, color commentary on the Redskins. What if
I understand you, that. What if, it doesn't what mean if, you did it good.
No, no.
This show
well,
good.
Okay, can I tell you,
do you
something?
Redskins play by, you do the Redskins pregame show, that's okay.
Can I tell you something?
You do good at color.
Opinions.
You know, Don, you don't have to be great at everything.
I am, though. I'm sorry.
You're
I'm
not,
sorry,
you're
I am.
You're not.
Opinions are like a-holes.
Okay.
Everybody's got one.
So just as many people, I'm sure, think you were bad at it as think you were good at it.
And if you want to make the playing field even, what do you do for a living?
I'm a stockbroker.
And where do you work?
I'm not going to give it out over the air.
Oh, you see, you don't have the balls to do that? You can sit here and criticize us, but you don't have the balls to give your own information out.
I criticize.
Because if you gave out where you lived, if you gave out where you worked, then we could probably get an assessment of how you do your job.
I may not do it well. I didn't claim to do it well. Don,
oh, well then,
did it well.
No. I claimed I did it well. I claimed I did it well when you went down that road. Who brought it up?
Good. I brought it up.
Who brought it up?
You did. Good. I brought it up.
You did. And
right.
Once again, I'd like to point out, it's another situation with a guy listening to us or listening to me or whoever it is, a guy out there who can't do it. You know,
I can't do it.
Okay, then. Then F you.
But you
I'm
can't
telling
do
you.
Color commentary very well either.
I was.
All
you're
I
wrong.
Was saying was just because you did it doesn't mean you did it good.
I did.
Well,
I didn't do it good.
Do it as good as you.
I didn't do it good. I did it well.
I'm getting tired of his grammatical
you didn't do it
errors.
Well, you didn't do it good. You were barely average.
He's unoriginal and his grammar is horrible.
Tell me something.
And he's a crappy stockbroker.
Tell me something. Yeah. Let's talk
don't
about.
You don't even know anything about me. How could you say I'm crappy?
Because of your attitude on the phone. I'm making the judgment based on your argumentative nature on the phone.
Okay.
We get paid to argue. You're doing this in your own car.
I'm outside my car now.
You're in the land. You're in the land of the abnormal, just like the previous guy.
Don and Mike are doing a show here. How can you be so passionate about so little?
That's a good point.
You just pick little things to be passionate about, just like Don picks to do mock draft.
Don's doing a show. What are you doing?
I'm walking around out front of my house right now.
Are you married?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Listen.
At least the previous guy wasn't married.
But I do mock drafts.
Okay, you did mock drafts. Everybody has their little things that other people would call abnormal.
Does this make you feel better when you call and do this? Does this make you feel stronger, bigger.
I feel that I've made a good point, yeah.
No, you have not made a good point. You could.
I feel I've made a good point.
You know, you're big on.
Right.
You're big on saying, well, you could ask people if they liked me doing the Redskins games or not. And you might be right. There might be some people who didn't like me. I guarantee you, you could poll everybody listening to this right now. You're unanimously hated by our listeners.
And, you know, I'll tell you this also. That when, hold on. I want to say something right now. You know, one of the things you have to do in this business, in the business we're in, you know, you can say, hey, you think you're good, you think you're good. When you do anything in this business, if you don't think you're good at what you do, you might as well just not come into work.
And my point to you,
that's the way we are.
My point to you about what you do for a living is, if you've got such balls to criticize me for trying something new and doing something new, tell me what you've done in your field that's innovative, or you've tried to break out and try something else.
Nothing compared to what you guys do on the radio.
And I would venture to say, based on this phone call, you probably look over the other broker's shoulder and go, I should buy that stock that he just bought because you're not capable of an original thought. This whole thing you're doing was done by the previous caller. You lack total originality.
I wasn't calling in to stay on the phone for 4 hours.
Yes, you were.
No, I wasn't. If I was doing that, I would have just said, I can stay on the phone
well, listen,
for 4 hours.
No, you're proving yourself by staying on as long as you are.
Prove to be a
all I can say is that you are not a good caller. That's all I can say. No, that's a fact.
I didn't claim to be a good call.
And once again, I believe we have won. Total victory is ours.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, you can claim you won.
No, we did win.
And listen,
well, I can claim I won because
I've already. That is absolutely true. You can claim you won all day long. Just like you can claim you have a good sex life. That's not true.
You could also claim you're a stockbroker.
I could claim anything I want. That's what I said back to
you
earlier.
You sure could.
When I said I could claim I was 6'10".
Because that's the great thing about being an anonymous caller on a show.
You can claim anything, and that's where you have a distinct advantage over us.
What advantage? What do we... Because
we live our lives on the radio.
You don't think this is a debate? You don't think what you're doing, you're saying you called to prove a point, to prove you were wrong? You were right.
That's not what I called for.
Yeah, see, you wanted to debate. All you've been doing is arguing.
I didn't want to debate. I just wanted to give you my opinion.
This is the most...
You started arguing with me and telling me I was unoriginal and telling me this and telling me
that. You're doing the same thing as the last guy.
I didn't think you...
And you're not arguing at all, are you?
Now we're arguing, of course.
You've been arguing since you got up front.
You've been arguing with me since then.
Yes, we have. We can agree on that.
Okay. Hey, listen, though, again, you know, for the last time, this is our job. It's our job to talk to idiots like you.
I understand that.
Okay? We're not doing this recreationally, as you are.
I understand.
As you are.
Okay.
Okay, so what does that tell you?
What are you trying to prove? I don't understand where you're going.
Oh, no, I think the operative question would be, we're trying to prove nothing. What are you trying to prove?
I was not trying to prove anything. I was trying to tell you that I think by putting somebody on hold for 4 hours, you can't claim victory because they're willing to talk to you for 4 hours.
But you know something? You seem to have a lot to prove.
You don't understand that, Mike?
Well, what I'm telling you is you're asking us what we have to prove, and I'll tell you why we have nothing to prove. Because for 15 years in this market, we have been number one. Hold on a second. Let me finish.
Okay, go ahead.
We have been number one in our field for 15 years. 15 years.
In D.C.?
Number one, yes, in D.C., yeah, absolutely.
Okay. In the nation's seventh largest market.
That's where we were hired. Syndication came along later because of our success in D.C. In Washington, D.C. Now, that, is, in my opinion, from our professional standpoint, we have nothing to prove, nothing whatsoever. My question to you would be, what are you trying to prove?
Mike, you know that you still have stuff to prove.
What are you trying to prove? I'm asking you what you're trying to prove.
I was trying to call up and say that I don't think you should be able to claim victory when you put somebody on hold and claim that you are willing to talk to them for 4 hours. That's all I was saying.
And we disagree.
Everything else branched off of that with everybody yelling and making little seventh grade jokes.
We disagree with
that. Hold on. You know what's the biggest seventh grade part of this? Is that you called about us claiming victory.
Right.
You called about two disc jockeys talking to idiot callers claiming victory. Who's taking it seriously, you or us? I'll tell you, from our standpoint, we're doing a show. When Mike and I take the headphones off, this will not be a topic of discussion. We're doing this as a show. Who called hearing something that was said in an entertaining way, in a comedic way? Who took it so seriously that he had to call in and take it to the next step?
I did.
You did.
Right.
Right.
Okay, then I've made my point.
I agree, you've made your point. I think that's the best point you've made all day right there, absolutely.
That's a good point. My point is still, I believe right.
What?
I believe
right.
My point
is still right.
You believe right?
I believe right.
What does I believe right mean?
It would be called misspeaking.
It would be called misspeaking. Oh, man, I'm tired. I am
tired. But listen,
tired.
You really
want to... Hold on, and you want to talk about... people giving out their real names. Don, why don't you give out your real name?
Who said anything about real name? It's no...
You did. Earlier, when you talked about saying that I didn't have to give out anything of my information.
No, he's angry.
Listen, it is no secret that Don Geronimo is not my real name, and I've made no point of hiding that.
Never.
If you want to know my real name, look in the Washington Post anytime. My real name is Mike Source. What, do you think that that's some big deal?
Next point, sir.
No, but I was just saying, you said that I needed to...
Once again, now that I've told you my real name, now that the secret is out, why don't you tell us where you work?
I work for Thompson Financial.
Thompson Financial.
Right.
Well, that's very courageous of you. We don't know whether it's true, because we have no way of knowing whether it's true.
I don't know if Don's real name is Mike Source.
No, now, come on, now, you know that's true.
No, I don't. I knew his name wasn't Don. I knew that, but I didn't know what his name was.
Every time
in the Washington Post, they say Don Geronimo.
I've never heard of Thompson Financial.
No, I haven't either, no.
Okay.
Well, all I know is they hire the wrong kind of people, if it's
true.
That may be.
That's all I have to say.
And whatnot. That's the one thing he hasn't said is whatnot.
And what for?
And you said it's good.
You know, I'll say whatever and whatnot. It doesn't matter.
Okay. But listen, you've been defeated.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been defeated.
Oh,
you're insignificant.
I made my point. You made your point.
No, you've been defeated.
I wasn't defeated.
Yes, you were. Very sad that you can't realize that.
It's very sad that you can't realize it.
Well,
you know, I'm going to tell you something for the last time.
Like when you guys play the name game, you beat people in the name
game. For the last time. Really for the last time, and then I have to do a break. We have a break for an hour and 20 minutes. What we do is entertainment. What we're doing with you right now, can I let you behind the curtain? Can I tell you something? Can I tell you really that we don't give a crap about if I said put you on hold, if the other guy was an idiot, everything you've said, we don't care. We're doing a show.
Okay.
We really don't care. And what's funny about it is that the people who listen to us, generally, with the exception of guys like you, know that we don't care. The reason it's funny is that you do care.
You're the only one with elevated blood pressure right now.
Okay. I don't have elevated blood pressure. Okay. I'm fine.
Now that
what was that, sir? You don't have elevated what? What was that?
Blood pressure.
Now that I've explained that to you very slowly, like
I'm not upset in the least bit.
Like I would talk to a retarded child.
Okay. Now that you should have practice of that with Bart.
Now you're going to bring families into it.
Sure, why not?
You're very upset.
He called me retarded. He called me retarded.
You are retarded. My son is not retarded.
I'm just as much retarded as Bart is.
Listen, I tell you what.
I would beg, you know what, I'd probably say that Bart is more retarded than I am.
This would be the last...
I'm not 15 years old and call my mother mommy.
This would be the last challenge I have.
Like a little sissy. Why don't you teach him to be a man, Doc?
You know what a real man...
Calling everybody mommy and daddy.
What's the definition of a real man? You know what the definition of a real man is? The definition of a real man is a man that can't take on other men, so he has to take on a boy. And I think you have proven...
Raising
no, you have taken on...
My raising of my son. I want to tell you something. Now you've crossed the line. Now I want to tell you, I'm going to be at Nation on Wednesday night.
Care?
You come down and you say this crap to my face.
For what?
Hold on. You won't have the balls to.
For what?
You won't have the balls to.
What's the purpose?
You know, one of the things I thought was that you wouldn't take a kid into it, that you wouldn't bring someone's son into it.
But you have to because... You've got nowhere else to go.
You're desperate. You're a pussy, and you're desperate.
Whatever.
You are.
No, not whatever. Not whatever.
That's why CBS laid down the law to you little boys about who was the man in this corporation. I won't say the name. Don't worry. I'm not going to say the name.
And you're saying your blood pressure is not elevated?
No, not in the least.
When you have to bring someone's son into it?
Now listen. You didn't have anything professionally
for the last time.
Prove to people.
For the last time.
That guy that CBS told you can't talk about if you have anything to prove.
Listen, you're trying to push the hot buttons. You're trying to push the hot buttons, and congratulations. And now I'm not speaking to you as an entertainer. I'm speaking to you. Shut up.
You, and that's why you can't talk.
I am speaking to you now.
Down the law.
I'm speaking to you as a man. Listen to me. I'm not an entertainer now. I'm a man. You've said crap about my kid. Crap that's not...
You retarded because you called me retarded.
You've said crap about my kid. You've criticized the way I bring my child up. I challenge you as a man to come to our Las Vegas-style show... Say these things to my face and see what happens.
For what? What's going to happen?
You take it any way you want, sir.
Okay?
Because now
I'm not speaking to you.
Make a challenge. If you're going to make a challenge, don't just come out with it kind of...
I am not speaking to you.
Hiding around, make a challenge. What's going to happen if I come down?
I think you know what's going to happen.
I don't know what...
Why do you have to ask?
Because you could have, let's see, you got Mike, Buzz, Ron.
No, this is just me.
There's all these listeners, there's all kinds of things.
This is just me. I'm just telling you.
Tell me what you're going to do.
Now I'm not an entertainer.
Let's put it man to man. Tell me what you're going to do.
I'm going to punch you in the face.
Just me and you.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to help you.
Correct.
I come down there, no one's going to help you. This is on record.
Correct.
So no one's going to help you. If I'm
right.
Beating
you got, hey, hey, don't belabor it.
Come on.
You know the deal. You know the deal.
Mike, hold on. Let me indulge
you. Shut up, a-hole. You're getting me a man.
I've already told you.
He wants to be a man and make a challenge.
Hey, screw you. Don't tell me. Hey, you don't tell me. You listen to me. You listen to me, Mr. Thompson Financial. You don't tell me to shut up on my own show. Do you understand that?
Whatever.
You don't do that. You know something? I reserve the right to do whatever the hell I want. Nothing you say. You don't make the rules.
It be between me and Don.
You don't. You know what the.
I've already told you.
No,
you know where I'm going to be.
Come on, we'll see what's going to happen. You got 50 million people that could be there.
For the last friggin' time.
It's going to be between me and you no matter what happens. So I'm beating the living hell out of you. Not one.
Right.
Oh, you're such a.
In.
You are such an incredible pussy. You couldn't beat the living hell out of anyone. That's why you hide behind the phone anonymously.
Whatever.
I know, guys. You're a pussy.
Whatever.
I asked. All you got to do is make the challenge. Come on, Don.
He already made it.
I've already told you.
You've been going on for 10 minutes.
What more do I have to say? You insulted my kid.
No one individual person. No one.
Yes,
not
yes.
Security, not listeners, not other people on the show, not management. Nobody is going to interfere.
He already said yes.
No matter
what. I've already said yes.
I have already said yes.
Okay. That's bullcrap. That's a lie.
Oh, now it's a lie. So you go through that hole because you're such a
fool. It's a lie, Mike. If I come down and I'm beating the hell out of him, you're telling me you're not going to jump in? You're not going to do anything. You're just
you know what?
Let another.
Why don't you come on down?
Lie.
Why don't
an
you?
Idiotic lie, Mike. Why don't you be a man?
Why don't you?
You're a pussy.
You know listen, puss.
Stop it.
Listen,
just like
puss.
If you saw somebody beat somebody on the street.
Listen, puss.
Try to do something about
listen,
it.
Listen, puss. Why don't you just come on down and you and I can set a time after the appearance to go somewhere where no one else will be around.
Down there with everybody else and then we'll set a time.
Well, then hold on. Then let me put you on hold.
All your listeners are all going to be
gone. Then let me put you on hold right now.
Hold
on.
Why don't you put me on hold? Why don't you go to commercial, you come to me, me and you decide where to go.
Hold on, I'll do it right now. I'll put you on hold right now.
No, go to
no.
Very angry young
your
man.
Your voice is not on the air.
Extremely angry.
Where do you want me?
And now I'm angry, and I know Don's angry.
But it's important to remember his blood pressure is not elevated.
It's the yeah, that's true. The line. Once the line is crossed,
where do you want me?
Yeah, that's the line being.
Where do you want me?
Right there.
He did cross that line.
Absolutely. Proof. I'm listen, douchebag. Turn the radio on. Hello. That's the sound of the telephone hitting the console. Yeah.
Yes. Wow.
You've just said the F word. Go ahead. tell me.
We're setting a new record for uninterrupted broadcast.
Yes, people can hear me. They cannot hear you.
Really? Wow. Rob, I didn't understand.
That's why I can't tell you where to meet since people will hear me. So tell me where to meet.
9 minutes.
Let's meet where? Tell me.
80 minutes.
Give you a 86 second.
86 minutes. 86 minutes.
You are retarded. Give me a second.
Minutes.
You're a big man. You're a big man calling in with insults, insulting my kid.
86 minutes of commercial uninterrupted radio.
Because you are a retard. You are a retard. And what you've done is challenge my family. And I'm not going to take that from you. I'm not going to take that from you. Give me the goddamn spot. Shut up and give me the spot. Name a club, name a street, name a time.
Name an institution.
Where's that? Where in PG County?
That narrows it down.
Okay, no. Where right by College Park? You don't know the exact street? I'm not going to look it up in the phone book.
He has no intention.
You hear this?
He has no intention of it.
Listen, Push, you're back on the air now.
All right.
Oh, my God, you are such a wuss. You have no intention of doing it.
But I gave him a play.
No, you didn't.
Right. He says, TikTok. He says, TikTok liquor. I said, fine, where's that? He goes, PG County.
TikTok liquor, probably where he spends a lot of his time.
Right.
You know, how about a nice street? How about D.C.? How about
back on the air.
Pennsylvania and 14th. I'm just giving you a for example.
Okay, take me back off the air. I got a place. Take me back off the air.
Oh, he's so full of crap. He is so totally full of crap. He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't show up. I know the time.
All right, what is it?
Mano y mano.
Yes.
That type of thing is best done
immediately. Sure, nothing's bleeped out. Say it.
Immediately.
Come on, big man. What time? Where? Sure I do. What time? How about tomorrow? 8:30 p.m. Yeah, I know it's still light outside. I'm not afraid. 8:30. Tell me where. 8:30, douchebag. You got it. How will I know you? How will I know you?
For the guy with the large forehead. Very exciting.
Uh-huh.
The unoriginal man.
Gotcha. You know me. You know everything about me. You know everything about me. You're going to see a big guy who's coming at you. That's how you know it's me. Right. I'm very handsome. You'll know me when you see me. Just be standing where you said you'll be standing, and I'll be there.
Close to the street.
Just be standing where you said you'll be standing. I don't know what I'm going to be wearing. I'll walk up to you and introduce myself to you before I pound your ass. I'll walk up and say hi. I'm coming by myself. I'll say hi. I'm the father of the son who's not retarded. And then I'll beat your ass. Yeah, I am getting this insulted by that. I am.
Now he's backing down.
Mm-hmm. So I'll see you then. I always come by myself.
No, yeah, Mike's not going to be there. Listen, how many times do you want to qualify this with me? You've already done this on the air. What if you? What if he has a gun, he says?
Oh, forget it. If there is any...
What if you have a gun? Well, what if I have a gun?
He shouldn't have said that thing about the gun.
No.
He shouldn't have said that thing about the gun.
No, he shouldn't have.
That's unfortunately changed the direction. He should be... May I speak with him for
sure,
a moment?
You can pick it up. He's on five.
Okay. All right,
this,
hold on.
This guy called looking for a fight. Okay.
Hey, pal. Hey, pal, are you there? You're off the air still.
That bit about the gun?
Yeah, yeah, that thing about the gun? Not real smart.
Right.
Yeah. So you just said it again. What if I bring a gun?
That puts it in a different thing.
Thank you. Hold on, please.
Okay. He may not be well.
Hold on, please. Well, listen, what you've done now is assured me the fact that if you do want to have a face-to-face with me, it will be on stage at a Las Vegas-style show.
I'm not going to bring one. I said you're not going to come by yourself because you don't know what listeners are
going
to do.
Charlie Broyhill has told me that when he brings that's a different deal.
Gotcha.
That's serious stuff.
Because it could happen.
I don't think it's a real good idea to talk to this guy.
Whatever. Whatever.
All right, whatever.
Whatever.
Goodbye, retard.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Keep talking about the guy on CBS that you can't talk about.
Whatever. Keep wishing that you were a real stockbroker.
Okay. Keep trying to be better than him.
A gun changes the playing field a little bit.
I didn't say I was going to bring a gun.
You said, how do you know I won't bring a gun?
We have to play that.
I said you wouldn't come by yourself because you don't know what listeners could do.
Okay,
wouldn't come by yourself.
I don't know whether Thompson Financial's legit or whether he's legit, but if it is, we'll check that out.
All right.
What are you going to check out?
Don't worry about it.
What do you need to know? Put me on hold.
You don't need to worry about it.
We already got your number.
I'll give you any information you need.
That's fine. That might be fine, but we'll find it out anyway.
Oh, whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Can you say whatever a few more times?
Whatever, whatnot, whatever, whatnot.
Okay.
I can say it a lot more times.
You got some
just
issues.
Like I can talk about the man in New York
you got
10
some
times
issues.
Better than you guys.
You got some
that's
issues.
Why you can't talk about it. That's why
you,
CBS said
right.
You can't talk about him because he is the
okay.
biggest fish in the pond.
He's,
you guys are little blue whales.
He's got some issues.
That's it, man.
I'm sorry. Got a little ugly.
It was entertainment.
Yes.
And then it got serious with the crowd without Bart.
Yeah, we don't screw around with anything. When it gets to a certain point, you just don't you don't mess with that.
And now, I'm never going to get out of here tonight because...
Oh, my God. Is this the all-time record?
I think so. Robbie, is this the record?
The all-time record.
How long do we go without a break?
Actually, we've shattered a lot of records. This is kind of like the Tiger Woods of segments. Not only have you just gone to 1 hour and 29 minutes right there on that segment, we have not yet played the first commercial break for 4 o'clock hour, and this is the first time we've ever started putting a segment to best of before the segment actually ended.
Okay. Oh, wow.
I think you all deserve a round of applause.
Jesus, I'm cool. All right, get set for a bunch of 5-minute segments now.
My God.
But we come right back.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
I am the truth. We take Jesus and we wrap him around our reproductive organs.
Amen.
And it's Jesus who's speaking to us to take his healing gospel to this generation and to do it now.
It's where opinions are like cowboy hats.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Where are we?
Hello. We are in year five of a 7-year contract. Hello, Don and Mike.
Am I on?
Hello, you're on the air.
Okay, good. This is Connie.
Yeah, hi, Connie.
Listening, hi. I was just listening to your show with that idiot on.
Yeah, which one?
The one that attacked your son.
Mm.
And you know what? He isn't worth punching out. I have got 4 kids. My oldest is 30. And they all call me Mommy.
Well, you know, the guy, and I didn't even want to get into it with him. But the point is, Bart doesn't call Frida Mommy, and he doesn't call me Daddy.
Right.
When I speak to him on the phone, for instance, when he was in Spain, I would say, how's Mommy doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I say that when I go home. I say, hey, last night, Frida and I got into a little bit of a, thing for a couple of minutes. I said, hey, don't worry about it. Mommy's pissed. she'll get over it. You know,
but even
that's how parents talk.
Yeah, and whatever, if a 30-year-old calls somebody mommy, so be it, no problem.
The only one I have to take issue with is Kathy Lee when she says daddy. I don't know why that makes my flesh crawl.
No, it does make you want to puke.
And I would have no problem if Bart called Frida mommy.
Right.
Or if he called me daddy. You know, I know lots of Southern guys who say, you know,
right.
My daddy says, hey,
mama.
Hi, daddy and mama. Right.
Yeah, you know, when you talk to Bart on my way home, I always listen. And when you talk to Bart or your wife, there is so much love there. And for anybody to attack another person's family, I think that is the lowest of love.
Well, I think really when, you know, we get done, I really should tell people exactly what happens when we get done with that segment. We kind of lean back for a moment and we laugh out loud because we just thought it was great theatrical radio, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And we really enjoyed the segment because we think it's very listenable and it's fun because people love to hear the conflict, the whole nine yards. But when it does get into family matters, I mean, I know how serious Don takes that, and I kind of take it seriously, too, when it's even though it's not my son. I mean, because, you know,
I do.
That's just...
I mean, you want to get on my ass, get on my ass.
That's the guy who's troubled. That's when it gets to that, you know, the previous guy, we went back and forth and back and forth. When it gets into that, it gets into the area of being a little troubled. And when you really, after we laugh about it and we realize how good the radio is, sometimes I take a deep breath and I wonder to myself, boy, what's inside of that person's head
wants to
come into this arena and do that? It's not that I mind them coming in, but it's a little disturbing.
Well, thank you for the call. Thank you. Thank you for the love. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yo, this is Dr. Dre.
Yo, Dr. Dre.
What's up, homie?
Hey.
Yo, this is Dr. Dre. How y'all doing, Don and Mike?
Something tells me that's not the real Dr. Dre.
I don't think so.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don.
Yes?
Just letting you know, that jerk-off, he said he was a stock...
Stockbroker.
Yeah. Well, the place he mentioned over the air is probably in the most highest crime areas of PG County, so I doubt very seriously he lives in that area.
Well, listen, who knows? Guys like that call and they lie about stuff. He was just, you know...
Right.
I'm only pissed at myself because it really is just entertainment, and for a couple of seconds, I allowed it to become personal instead of being entertainment.
Absolutely.
You know, and for anybody out there who wants to bust balls, you know, that's probably the easiest way to get to me, and what I'm going to do from now on is, for the idiots who want to argue, I'm just going to delete that stuff out.
Which is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, on that subject matter, absolutely. It really is.
And, you know, my family means more to me than anything. You know, beyond that, F you. Thank you. Hello, Don, my show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. That was a good speech. Hello.
Hello.
All right, you are on the air.
Don, my brother, how are you?
Hey, my brother.
Hey, do you have any Mexican in you? Because the only reason I said that is because Mexicans hold family above everything else like you do.
It sounds like Reggie White's speech.
I'm not Reggie White.
And Japanese, they can take a wristwatch and they can put it right on. And they can take a TV and put it right on your wristwatch.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I don't think it has anything to do with anybody's ethnicity. Right.
Yeah.
You know, just listen.
Just call it ethnicity.
Listen, family's important to me. Your family should be important to everybody. Right. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Yes.
How about them Redskins?
Is this the Morris Jones guy?
Yes, it is. What's going on, you guys? I just want to liven up the show a little bit. It's sunny. You know, Fox 5 Live. Don, I just want to say you did a great job the other day doing the Redskins report. I wish I was there with you.
Thank you, Morris.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Right now.
Right now?
Right now.
Morris Jones.
Right now. Morris Jones, check it in.
Right now.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
Yeah, how you doing?
Pretty good. Hey, I just want to let you know that was... I don't know if that was entertaining radio, but it was captivating radio.
There you go.
And that's for all those idiots that want to call and argue with us, you know, what I said to that guy really is the truth, that we're doing entertainment. And except for that one little part where I took it personal, the first thing I said when I left the studio and I looked at Charles Broyhill, I said, you know what you were just looking at? You were looking at an hour 30 of time spent listening.
Amen.
And in our business, that's how we get our ratings, by having people listen for the longest amount of time, which is why we argue with the stations about playing commercials and stuff.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I sat in my car for like 20 minutes just for it to follow through.
Absolutely.
Right, and you know, that's why people reward this show with great ratings, because they know that we're not going to pussy out on them.
Right.
They know that if we get into something with some guy,
We're not going to let it go.
And, you know, I seriously hope that in the minds of those two individuals we were talking to, I hope it goes away for them as quickly as it goes away for us.
Yeah, it's gone.
I don't think it does, but I hope it does. I really do.
The first guy seems nice now in retrospect.
He does, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Second guy.
He's like a friend.
Yeah, I had two friends made today.
Tell us, Don and Mike.
Hi. I just got to tell you guys that Thompson Financial does exist. I mean, I work for Thompson in Rockville, Maryland.
Yeah.
And it's kind of freaky that that guy.
You got a guy, any guys over there that walked up and down their hallways like Jack Nicholson in The Shining?
No, not at all.
I want to just say this about that business, that we don't know for sure where that guy works.
Right. You have no idea. You can never depend on that. 90% of it's probably not true.
He could have been looking in a phone book and just picked out the first financial institution that he saw.
There's probably a 1% chance he works there, 1% chance he's a stockbroker.
Yeah, when he said Thompson Financial, I was like, oh, my God, that's where I work. No.
Yeah, watch out.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's why I called.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
My radio god.
Hello.
I am so glad I got through to you. I just listened to that jerk. You know, I had somebody, I work at Comcast, and somebody really jerked my chain this week and last week. And I was feeling really down about it. And I know this is kind of sick in a way, but I know that guy was getting to you, and it's nice to know that it can happen to other people, too, because I thought I was the only one.
What, dude, were you installing somebody's cable, and they called your child a retard?
Almost, man. I was trying to fix this computer, and this lady accused me of breaking it. And it just wasn't nice.
All right, thank you. You're very nice. Thank you.
And to him, computer is family.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yes, hi. Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Oh, excellent. Look, I just kind of wanted to dial in and kind of pile on that douchebag that called you. I got to tell you, you know, first of all, you don't bust on somebody's kid like that. And second of all, Mike, you know, calling you a homo, that was kind of low.
Oh, no, no. No, I wear that as a badge of honor. And, you know, let's be honest.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. And has anyone really examined that? I don't think so.
Well,
I think it's uncovered ground.
Was it that you're a homo?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, honest to God, I live about three doors down from your sister-in-law, Emily. I had the distinct pleasure of meeting your wife a couple weeks ago at a little get-together at her house. And I can pretty much attest to the fact that Michael Mayer is not a homo. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Oh, yeah, that's a... Well, I hit on this guy.
Yeah.
Thanks for covering my story, though. I appreciate it.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
Hey, you know, I was really upset about how the guy called in. You know, he's being an idiot. That was bad enough. And then he, you know, sold it to your son. And the one thing that I was happy was to see that you stand up for your family. You took it on mano a mano. But yet this coward, this punk, backs down. And then he wants to bring in, you know, guns or weapons because he's too small of a man to actually take you up, you know. That really just made me really mad. You know, I was really listening.
Well, don't be mad. The world is full of punks like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, the fact is he insulted your family. You know, granted, you felt you had to defend your family. You said, you want to meet, we can discuss this man on man, face on face. But yet, when he talks all that junk over the phone, he's big. But yet, when you actually
pick him up on it, he just runs. I got news for you. In the real world, you know, when we're you know, fathers and family people and out and about, that situation doesn't exist. That, you know, you never. And I think it's smart for everybody to realize it. You don't let a situation get to that anymore.
Yeah, right. I mean,
this forum, we get paid.
We're doing a radio show.
Absolutely,
please. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don.
Yes.
This is Frank.
Yes, Frank.
How are you?
Doing great, thank you.
Great. I've got a couple buddies here with me, part of the Lords of Darkness motorcycle group. And we'll be more than happy to show up at your Las Vegas doll show and take care of the little weasel.
Don't worry, he's not showing up.
I'd love to have motorcycle gang guys up on stage. Just like Altamont.
Yeah,
do please show up, though. That'd be, like the Stones.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Like the Stones. Like
I'm serious.
Hell's Angels showing up at the Stones.
Imagine that on both sides of the stage. We have the bouncers from the bar, and then we have Hell's Angels.
But we'd do it right. We wouldn't let them kill so many people.
That's right, absolutely.
Just a few.
Rein them in a little bit.
Just a few. They really irritated us.
I love Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Just want to let you know.
Here he is, Mr. Timing. Hello.
Hi.
That was the Warner Klemper high that that is getting.
We have to go right to a break, and I know that you have a problem keeping things compressed.
Oh, no, Okay, no, I will have a great mission. Thank you, and I'll see you Wednesday.
See you then.
What?
See you then.
See you then.
Bye.
Adios.
Bye.
Bye, Mike.
Bye, Dennis.
Bye, Dennis.
Hi. Okay, you know what we've not done today? Jesus, that all that crap really threw our schedule off. We have not even started to fill the Dewey Beach Ice House.
Oh,
the beach house. We're gonna have to do that tomorrow.
Okay,
I don't see how we possibly devote time to it. And we've not yet heard the tapes of Rob and Charlie Stossel in the dunk booth this weekend.
Rob, did you log time in the dunk booth?
No.
Rob is just providing commentary
while Charlie's getting dunked.
Yeah, while Charlie's getting all wet.
Oh.
Tomorrow, or maybe in the next break. Cram some junk together now because we went an hour and a half.
Don't cram all that junk together. Use your head.
Be the 100th caller right now. We'll give you a shot at winning $500 with Secret Sound. Number two, phone number 877-365-3636. Call Lisa right now. We'll be right back.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
And that night was my son's birthday party. My wife invites the priest. He's always at the house.
Hey, Tony.
Hi, Don.
You like Grandma Glade?
Hey, you bless it, I'll eat it.
She's not coming.
Who?
Grandma just called. Started crying and hung up.
She needs a purpose in life.
No, your mother is tougher than you think.
So what, no f***ing D.D. now?
Hey! Don and Mike, you know, I heard you were having a party, and you're trying to get me to go. But I'm not going to go if there's no f***ing ZD. Because, you know, it's just not going to happen. Thank you very much.
It's the lay of the land, my friend. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, now, we've rescheduled the Charlie Stossel getting in the dunk booth segment for tomorrow's show.
That's a good segment.
As well as starting to find people for Big Joe DiCaprio's Dewey Beach Beach House.
Right.
Starting tomorrow, we're going to be pulling people. Listen, this was Big Brother and the Real World. Before there was such a thing as Big Brother and the Real World,
that's
we were
right.
doing this.
Yeah, we were doing it first.
Putting our listeners in wacky configurations, living with each other for a week.
Absolutely.
With house mother Joe DiCaprio, homo Joe, Big Joe. Starting tomorrow, we'll be offering up spots. You can win 7 days, 8 nights in Dewey Beach, Delaware. With five people you've never met before in the Dewey Beach Ice House.
What a way to wrap up the summer.
Now, listen, a great time to go. Labor Day. Pack your bags. You'll be in the house from Friday, September 1st through Friday, September 8th, which does include the Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, and as crazy as Memorial Day weekend was when we did this, the end of the summer, it's like everybody's realizing that it's their last chance to really get crazy.
When you arrive, you'll find Ice House Beach Supplies at the beach house, courtesy of Ice House. All that we ask in return is that you live your life under a microscope.
That's right.
With the housefrau, homosexual Joseph, Big Joe DiCaprio, who will be having a tape recorder. Writing down notes, telling us everything is, and making his exquisite gourmet homo meals.
And who knows, maybe if you're lucky, he'll show you Big Joe.
I think now in the house, we have Big Joe, mm-hmm. Timmy O'Bibinay, Mr. 40, scheduled to appear. We've not gotten in touch with Mr. 40 yet to confirm that.
Yeah!
As it turns out, Broyhill won't let Lisa go.
Really?
Because we're on vacation next week, and she has to stay to run the best of tape.
Okay.
So she can't go, but everybody else... Mm-hmm. You're in.
Have fun.
Or maybe it's that the week that they're going to be there is the week that we are here, that we're working.
I don't know.
I think that's it, because I think we're off next week, and we come back the day after Labor Day. It's not one of our elongated Johnny Carson-like vacations.
Uh-huh.
We're really just taking a week off.
Right.
So I think that that's the reason that Lisa has to be here to work, because most of this beach house stuff is going to be happening while we're doing the show.
Very good.
Anyway, listen, tomorrow we'll start filling the spots, okay? On tomorrow's show, I think mainly girls.
Uh-huh.
All girls. It's always worked good before. We just have all girls.
Yeah, we've got a few guys already.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I am caller 100.
Yes, you are. And what is your name?
My name's Aaron.
Aaron, where are you from?
Calling from Wichita.
Aaron.
One rated.
Thank you for listening on KFH. Thanks for the number one ratings. You won Aaron Brockovich. Courtesy of Blockbuster, the Aaron Brockovich prize pack. Aaron Brockovich, available for rent at Blockbuster on VHS and
H-O-T.
DVD. H-O-T, Blockbuster, bringing entertainment home.
Thank you.
Just remember what I say about Julie Roberts. You don't have to face. I think she's a big dog face. Yes, but you can.
They did on Species 2 last night.
They effed the face?
On Species 2 they did.
I've seen Species 2. When do they F the
very
face?
End, man, when they're, like, having alien love.
You mean when they go in that shack where all of those, like...
Yeah.
Cocoon-like embryos are?
How is Species 2? How does it hold up to the original?
Yeah, who cares? Natasha Kinski is naked.
They were doing... When they were aliens, that's when they were doing all that, but...
Oh, you know the version of that Fez likes?
What's
that? Feces, too.
Hey!
All right, listen, here you go. Are you ready? Anyway, I think Julie Roberts is a dog, but that's just me. Everybody else seems to think she's it.
And all I'm saying is she's pretty, Don.
Are you ready to go for $500?
Yes, I am.
Here's the sound. Please don't answer until Mike sings like. Godspeed.
Caller, name this sound.
There it is, a common everyday sound. I know Buzz has this sound in his home. I can't think from when I was in Mike's house if Mike has this or not in his home.
And the odds are in my favor.
Yeah!
I will tell you that. I don't know why that makes me laugh.
Probably somewhere in your house you do.
Yeah.
Right. And now that I think about it, I've got that sound in my house also.
All right.
Probably in more than one place.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Probably in two places in my house and one place where I don't have.
Okay.
Are you ready to go?
Well, that blew my theory, but I'll try to give it a guess anyway.
It's not a wheelchair brake.
Okay. So you said it was in Buzz's house and not in mine.
No, it's not the brake on a wheelchair.
I wasn't sure.
What's the sound?
Jeep.
I think just a shot in the dark is a new Tupperware. Open and closing?
No, that is...
Same as the last guy.
That's right.
No, yes. No.
Oh,
no.
We're sorry.
Okay. No, I'm just playing with you.
No.
That's the same thing that the guy last hour guessed.
Yeah.
3 hours ago, whenever we last did this contest.
Are you serious?
Yeah, same guess, but thank you.
All right, thank you.
Don't forget that almost every guess is
a clue for you.
And now in an effort to make up time, because of the big commercial-free rock block we had on the show today, we're going to move right to the news and the comments.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz.
He made it up.
Mike, it's not an automatic shoe shiner.
Okay.
It's not that thing with the red and black fuzzy things.
Buzz's house, not in mine.
Yeah, you ought to get one.
Buzz, what is the lead story tonight?
Tonight, Ann and Ellen, the breakup and the breakdown.
And the offer.
Yes.
My offer.
Yes, right. Ellen.
My offer.
Dan.
Okay. Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned. For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up. On the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. And that was very...
That was very professional, but I just have one more.
Hang on.
And I've got one, too, that you'd find in Buzz's house that you wouldn't find in Mike's house.
I don't think I spelled it right.
Dialysis.
We got the stair lift.
Okay, hold on. This is one for you, Buzz.
Okay.
I've got something else you'd find in Buzz's house you wouldn't find in Mike's.
What's that?
A full bottle of booze.
Especially after this weekend.
Okay, hold on. News comments coming right up.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Offering the audio equivalent of manual relief. The Don and Mike Show.
And now listen, I know everybody's watching Survivor Wednesday night.
Oh, yeah.
Not us.
Mm-mm. No.
I mean, we're going to be watching it at our Las Vegas-style show.
Hey, man,
that's another thing we haven't talked enough about today. We got a big Vegas-style show. Free show, don't cost nothing. Love to see you. And a great venue, Nation, in D.C., where they've never given us any hassles about any of the goings-on at the Las Vegas-style shows.
If you like the last one we did down in D.C., come to this one. It's going to be even better.
Conveniently located. At 1015 Half Street Southeast.
Bingo.
Just get a by L'Enfant Plaza.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can spit on Nation from L'Enfant Plaza.
Not exactly, but it's relatively close.
It's around there.
It's around there.
It's, mm-hmm. I mean, haven't we had this argument before? It's kind of around L'Enfant Plaza.
We didn't have the argument before. We had promoted it as down near L'Enfant Plaza, and then they found out it's down near South Capitol Street, is where it's a little closer.
I still think it's by L'Enfant Plaza.
Well, it's relatively... I'm tired.
Okay, I know.
There's a McDonald's and a KFC by it.
We'll see
plenty
you
of parking.
And a Wendy's.
Plenty of free parking.
Plenty of great parking. I don't know if it's free. Come on out.
See you Wednesday night. Got to be 21 to get in because there's going to be naked people.
Half street.
Probably not free if you park inside the fence.
Here now is Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Actress Anne Heche was in the hospital today 2 days after announcing her breakup with Ellen DeGeneres. She was only there a couple of hours after talking to the doctors. The sheriff's office in Fresno says Heche wandered up to the door of a house, shaken and confused. The sheriff's office says she knocked on the door and began making strange statements to the people who answered.
I may have mumbled duck face into the banana patch.
Me want me.
Heche and DeGeneres announced an amicable breakup after 3.5 years and asked that their privacy be respected.
Me want salami.
Honey, she's saying she wants meat. What's the matter, dear? What can we do for you?
Hold on, Anne Heche is at the door.
Hello.
Heche is 31. DeGeneres is 42. Before Ellen, Anne was romantically linked to Steve Martin.
He couldn't satisfy her. Buzz, as you heard earlier today, Frida has approved this.
Yes.
My home is open to her as a third member of our marriage.
You're inviting her into your marital bed.
Yes, I am. Anne Heche, come on. Be my second wife.
That's wonderful.
You do that, I'll go back and I'll be a Democrat again.
I bet she won't be distraught. I bet she won't be going up to strangers' houses after she has you.
Come on, Anne, do it for the country.
She's cute. 6 days, 7 nights. You really want to see her body?
Mm-hmm.
Check that movie out. She's not naked.
No.
But boy, she sure does wear some revealing clothes.
And you've wanted her for as long as I can remember.
She's cute.
Yeah.
Cutie patootie.
And I feel the exact same way about Ellen.
Well, good luck to you both.
42 years old, a little older than me, but man.
Yeah. Russians are angry with their president for doing too little too late to save the sailors on that sub. After all, Russian President Vladimir Putin did continue his vacation even after the story broke.
That's why heads will be exploding under 350 feet of sea, Buzz.
No, heads will be exploding in Moscow, Don. It appears Russia's defense minister is trying to take the blame for all this. Today, that defense minister announced that there were no survivors among the 118 sailors.
Really? It wasn't no survivors? Rudy?
No.
Richard?
None of them were there either.
Darlene?
Dirk survived.
Dirk.
He admitted, this defense minister did, that the rescue effort was, to use his word, flawed. And he asked the sailors' families to forgive him.
Yeah, that'll be easy to do.
Sean, the loopy doctor from the TV show Survivor, has landed another TV job. First, he was hired to play a doctor on The Guiding Light, and now, as you may have heard, he'll be the new medical correspondent on the TV show Extra.
Yeah, since they do so many medical segments on Extra.
Well, and since Sean was just such a damn bright guy.
Sharp as a tack. His first guest will be Richard, who will discuss how he lost 80 pounds. The New York Post...
Hold on.
Richard lost 80 pounds?
Well, I need a new TV.
No, to the present day. You're seeing him as he looked back in March, remember? So this is since then. Apparently, he's lost a total of 80 pounds.
Oh, so he's lost more.
Apparently so.
So he probably, since the show ended...
Right.
He's lost, what, about 70 pounds?
that could be.
He's lost 80 pounds since the show ended.
You know, for being on an island, he sure is fat. Yeah. When they did that thing where he's running in slow motion, he looks like that's one of those Shar-Pei dogs.
So when Sean gets done interviewing Richard...
Uh-huh.
I mean, who else are they going to send out? When Bob Hope dies, are they going to send Sean from Survivor out to cover it?
Yeah,
probably.
And wait till they find he really doesn't have a medical degree at all.
And wait till they find out people really don't like him.
I know.
Like he's one of the most unlikable people on the island.
Sure, he just blew it at every turn on that show.
He's not too bright.
Buzz, hold on. We've got to do this again.
Okay.
See, this is the price you pay.
Yes. Yes.
When you go an hour and 40 minutes with those two idiots.
I wish we could control our tempers.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And listen, Mom, he was naked and aroused.
Hey, Don, Mike, about that last comment, you're on your own.
God damn it.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right. God damn it, here is Guy Birdley. Hi, Guy.
Hi, Don and Mike. We have a cast and crew of Survivor have known since March who won the million. That's well over 100 people. So why hasn't somebody leaked it? Well, the Daily News...
I gotta take a leak. It's Rudy.
Hey, if you got a leak, leak into this.
The Daily News says the contestants signed contracts that could leave them liable for $4 million in damages if the network finds out they leaked the winner's identity before the final broadcast. I knew there was
was a contract. I had no idea it was that steep.
I think we had heard the $4 million thing from someone else a long time ago, right?
And it takes care of those theories, like from that lady that called last week mm-hmm. saying she knows the friend of a producer who told her liberally, you know, exactly what was going on.
That's right. The current issue of Newsweek magazine says members of the production crew signed similar deals. Plus, each of the contestants gets paid for their part on the show. Colleen mentioned that on this program last week. But word is nobody gets a dime of that money if the winner's name gets out before Wednesday night.
Oh, and Cutie Colleen, we're working on having her come in.
Oh, good.
Right after Labor Day.
Great.
Just let her come in and sit down and do the whole show with us.
Fantastic.
Just look at her.
Yeah, just look at her.
See how her legs are healing.
She's lovely.
Pick at them a little bit. How you doing? How's that one doing? That looks like I opened that one up again.
Maybe eat her scabs. How you doing, Colleen?
Ooh, boy.
Could I eat your scabs?
Come on. Come on, me see the scab.
Hey, Rob, give me a box of toothpicks. Me and Mike are going to eat Colleen's leg scabs.
You join us just after Labor Day, we'll be eating Colleen's scabs.
Got to get yourself some cocktail forks. Little guys, pick them up, eat your scab. Give me some little hunks of lemon. After Labor Day, be a big scab-eating show.
Little bit of horseradish.
Ooh.
With Colleen's scab.
All I want is scabs. Very nice, boys.
Oh, like you would need her scabs.
Yeah, she's lovely. Survivor contestant Richard Hatch says he's been flooded with marriage proposals in spite of his image as a manipulator.
Charlie Stossel sent him 30, 40 letters.
Absolutely. He really... Charlie wants to be his lover. Richard tells Newsweek the proposals came from women and men, and that, quote, I'm getting wonderful naked pictures of men, end quote.
Again, Charlie Stossel.
Mm-hmm. He says he did get two letters saying, you're evil, I hope you die, but mostly Richard says the public response has been good. Quoting him again, we're talking fan clubs.
God.
Looking back on the experience,
Richard's fan club.
Richard's the only one that would say that.
Yes, that's right.
We're talking fan club. I'm the most famous homo in America.
And I've lost 30 pounds.
Richard says he has no regrets, not even about the nudity. Quoting again, the night before Colleen was complaining about my nudity, she and Jervis and Greg were sitting right next to me, buck naked around the fire. I don't know if the cameras caught that.
Blow me.
As for the women of Survivor turning up naked in magazines, Jenna may be a go, but Colleen's a no. Truck driver Sue says...
Oh, gross.
Jesus. She says she does not expect to hear from Playboy, quoting her...
Yeah, keep waiting, honey.
Quoting her, me and Kelly don't belong in Playboy because we've got tattoos. We belong in Hustler, and I heard Larry Flint pays more, end quote.
Hey, good for her.
They could get a picture of her taking a crap.
Do you remember?
Not just peeing. They could get a picture of naked Sue taking a dump.
That'll sell.
Here's a picture of Sue right next to Chester the molester.
A boy named Sue.
Do you remember a couple weeks ago someone called and said Jenna had gotten heavy since she left the island?
Yes.
I saw her on MTV this weekend. If you can see this special, it's about the nominations for the video awards.
Right. Has she gotten heavy?
Yeah. She's definitely a lot thicker than she was and not as cute since she's back.
Really?
She could do well to lose 80 pounds. As well. Maybe not 80, but you should look for her on MTV because you'd be surprised.
Well, another word about the religious survivor, Dirk. He was on the 700 Club over the weekend telling Pat Robertson that he was voted off because the others were intimidated by the strength Christianity gave him.
Sure.
He says his goal was not $1 million, but a chance to spread the gospel. He says he was picked for the show because, quote, the Lord had a plan.
Right.
By the way, Dirk won't tell his grandparents who won, even though they told him they might not live through the end of the series.
Well, that's not godly. That's not godly behavior.
Rap artist, funny.
Rap artist Lil' Kim. Maybe
that's funny. We might not. But Dirk, we might not live till the show airs.
I can't tell you, Grandma.
Please tell us.
I can't tell you, Grandma. You're just gonna have to go and die.
Big C's got a hold of me. Tell me, is it Rudy or Richard?
I'd tell you, but it wouldn't be good for ye.
Rap artist Lil' Kim may be the next celebrity to pose in Playboy.
I'd like to see Lil' Kim in there.
You've seen most of her already, but she tells the New York Post she met with the magazine's honchos last week. Word is she's looking for a six-figure paycheck, even though she doesn't really need the money. And that may be more than Playboy wants to spend, especially since Lil' Kim often appears in pretty revealing outfits.
Mm-hmm.
And even more so since Lil' Kim says her Christian faith might keep her from doing the kind of photo spread the magazine's readers demand.
Are her grandparents living?
I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to look on my CDs.
in the world of rap,
uh-huh.
there's way too many Lils now.
You think?
Well, I know that there's Lil Kim.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just try to find... Hold on. I know there's more Lils. God damn it, I can never find the stuff on it.
Don't you play a song from Lil Kim?
Yeah, I do. There's also Lil Mo.
Okay.
Okay. He's another one. Probably not the Lil River Band.
Do you play anything from Lil Jim McClure?
Oh, he's good.
He's fantastic. I'm sorry, Lil Chin.
Lil Chin.
Yeah. Lil Chin. That's his rap name.
Not
Lil Chin.
Lil Eva. No, no, here's another one. Lil Bow Wow.
Ooh.
Lil Bow Wow.
That's Lil Bow Wow.
Lil Candy.
Another Lil?
Yeah. I mean, there's tons of L.I.L.
But isn't Lil Kim, like, the original?
She's the original L.I.L.
Mm-hmm.
Playboy's also going after the daughters of rock legends. Rod Stewart's daughter, Ashley, has already said yes to Playboy. But he looks just like Rod. Playboy's reportedly also going after Mick Jagger's daughters, Jade and Elizabeth.
Both look just like Mick.
Hello. Mick. Listen, you can't have your daughters posing. They just look like a couple of cheap pity whores.
We want a pose!
How is that chance? Mick, I've gone back on the heroin.
We want to share our genitals!
Listen to your Uncle Keith. Don't pose in those magazines. Take narcotics like me. Thank you.
The daughter's posing won't set well with Mick. He doesn't even like the fact they've taken up modeling. And by the way,
Daddy, look at me clitoris!
Now it's Mick. Don't get too upset. It's just a picture. It's just a photograph, Mick.
It's just for men and their libidos.
I'm running out of money to pay for my narcotics. Can we tour again, Mick? Please, God.
The now sober Ronnie Wood was too late to the theater in London last week.
He's a fag.
He's too late to see Jerry Hall naked on stage in The Graduate, but Wood said he's seen Hall naked many times before. Quoting him, that's life on the road for you.
Hey,
time out, Buzz.
You bet.
We got to do this again. Another commercial set, Daddy.
I'll sleep right through it, Zimmer. I'm not your daddy. I'm your Uncle Keith.
We will be right back, Buzz.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, thanks, Don and Mike. A stellar job today, I might add.
Laugh nuts, buddy. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, I hate to whore everybody here, but Buzz, this is going to have to be... mucho short.
All right.
You know why. I mean, sure. First break of the show today went 1 hour. Then we did another long rap. Then we did an hour and a half. Yes, it was lots of commercial free talk. So, you know, somebody's got to pay the price.
Yeah,
this
right.
is it because we can't stay.
We asked you what you wanted, and you told us more commercial free arguing.
You know, if we stayed and just did the show the way that we normally do it,
uh-huh.
we'd go till 8:30. And normally that wouldn't be a problem, except the Junction's got to have the studio at 8 o'clock because that's when their national show starts.
Absolutely.
So we got to get out of here. Buzz!
You know it's not a good day to fly when they announce that one of the pilots is ill and ask if there's a doctor on the plane. The good news is the Northwest flight from Los Angeles to Minneapolis arrived without any trouble. The bad news is the captain died during the flight. Northwest Airlines says it's standard procedure to have two other experienced pilots on board a DC-10.
Oh, wow.
The passengers say they knew things had not turned out well when they saw a paramedic go into the cabin and come out empty-handed.
Too bad Dr. Libby wasn't there. He could have helped.
Have you heard about the government's X-rated X-ray machine?
You know what I was going to say? There's somebody had a funny line on a pilot. I guess on Southwest. Is it Southwest Airlines where they actually do some shtick? And they said right when the plane landed, they got to the gate and they said, listen, we have a celebrity on board today. This is a gentleman. He's making his first flight, and he's 93 years old. And everybody kind of applauded like this. This was the flight attendant. I said, so if you want to just congratulate him on his first flight and being 93, just go in and say hi to the pilot.
I appreciate flight attendants doing a little shtick like that.
Once you're safely on the ground.
Thank you. We're here all week, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I wouldn't want that on the front end. I want it on the ending.
Maybe you'd heard about the government's X-rated X-ray machine. The device is called Body Search, and it's used by custom inspectors at a half dozen American airports to look for contraband. It's a low-power X-ray that penetrates only a few millimeters beneath the skin. The idea is to eliminate pat-downs and strip searches by allowing the agent to see right through your clothing.
All I see is some scabs. And I need those scabs, though. Hey, that's Colleen from Survivor. Look at her legs. They're covered with scabs. I like to eat those scabs. Hey, Colleen, would you mind if we eat your scabs?
The images are so sharp, your belly button can be clearly seen right through your shirt, and if they can see your belly button, they can see everything. They're also being used in prisons and in a South African gold mine to make sure the workers aren't stealing any of the gold.
Right. Thank you, Ronnie Murphy.
Where's the X-ray? Here we are, deep below the mine. The diamond harvest is exquisite, and I see that we have our X-rays working perfectly. There's a wonderful specimen. We'll bring it home to you.
Although an X-ray is less invasive than a strip search, it's also sneakier, and privacy experts are worried which employer will be the next to get one.
We've got to do this right now, bud.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
At least we cut the chit-chat, a-hole.
Hey, Washington, what's even hotter than a D.C. summer? A Don and Mike Las Vegas style show. This Wednesday, Don and Mike bring their raunchy magic back to Nation. Located for your convenience at 1015 Half Street Southeast. The show starts at 8, and you got to be 21 to get in. For additional info or directions, call 202-554-1500. Don't miss any of the hot adult-only antics of the final Las Vegas style show of the summer. We'll see you there. Time for more host chat with Don and Mike.
And Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Kathy Lee and Frank Gifford and their kids have just spent the past couple of weeks on a Carnival cruise, according to the New York Daily News. The paper says the air conditioning was out for most of the trip and that the food didn't get great reviews from the celebrities on board. It also says Kathy Lee kept playing and handing out her new CD, going as far as replacing the music in the workout room with it.
Oh, my God. Would that be a pincer?
Unbelievable. The article says Kathy Lee also butted in when a passenger asked Frank how he felt about Dennis Miller on Monday Night Football.
Well, I've got some definite thoughts about
him. I think he likes him just fine. Come on, Frank Gifford. We have to go up to the workout room. I have to put my CD in the player.
There's Kathy.
That'll be enough.
She reportedly blurted out, "It's terrible. He's evil." About Dennis Miller.
Wow. I think he's funny. I think he's funny. Don't hurt
me. He's terrible. He's evil.
Don't hurt me. I think he's funny.
Thank you for agree with me that he's evil, or I will push you overboard. So help me, God, I will push you overboard.
Is Satan.
Very good.
We have to be going now. So nice to meet you.
Country singer Garth Brooks won't be turning his home into a museum after all. Garth says he thought it was a good idea until he talked to the people who run Graceland. He says they told him the house would have to be torn up for the installation of security cameras and fire exits.
I wonder if you're awesome tonight.
Garth Brooks, man. Unbelievable. And then Garth met with his lawyer, and then he met with his neighbors who unanimously hated the idea. And then Garth said this isn't fun anymore, so he's decided to keep the house just the way it is and to keep using the house.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
There's his lawyer. At 38, Brooks is the biggest-selling country singer ever, selling over 97 million albums in just 10 years.
You know, it seems so long since we did a commercial break.
How about one right now?
Yeah.
Hey, how about a show?
Hey, let's do it. I'll rent the barn.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Me? That's why the bosses sent me out here. They wanted me to make sure none of the other crews robbed the joint. Like these two balloon heads over here. They were going to try to bang us out of 200 grand? Yeah, right, I'm sure.
The cure for your anal spasm. The Don and Mike Show.
Here we are running late, and I'm playing my fart sound effects for the music. Bye!
Oh, there you
hi,
go.
Hi, Don.
Hi,
Mike.
Hi, Buzzy. A condo association is paying one of its residents $310,000 to leave. The 53-year-old Jeffrey Marthon will not go quietly. He has Tourette syndrome.
Whoop, whoop, F you, F you, F you.
And when the Maple Grove...
Bitch.
When the Maple Grove Condo Association in suburban Chicago asked
whoop.
Him to leave, he filed a discrimination lawsuit.
Ever.
Whoop. The law says you can't discriminate against someone because they have a disability. The other condo owners say it's not about disability. They say it's about noise and getting a good night's sleep. And to them, the $310,000 settlement was worth it.
Hey, ho.
See? Some Stephen King fans like his new downloadable book so much they're paying extra for it. The Plant is available online at one installment for $1. King has said he'll kill the project if fewer than 75% of his readers bother to pay for it.
Is that like a house plant or where they make stuff?
I don't know.
Okay.
I have to read the book.
Maybe it's Robert Plant, Mom.
Oh, man, Zeppelin, yeah.
Right now, the number is holding at 76%. Some readers are paying $20 per installment.
Oh, ye suckers. Afraid that other people won't pay their fair share.
Right, so they're paying for the slackers. So they don't lose their story.
Jesus Christ.
A North Carolina woman's in jail in Texas accused of seducing a 15-year-old boy she met on the Internet. Mrs. Robinson, I think you're trying to seduce me. Police say the 31-year-old chatted up boys all over the country. But she says she didn't have sex with any of those other boys. Police say she did have sex with one 15-year-old boy she met in a chat room.
She was a whore.
They say she bought a plane ticket to Houston and spent an entire weekend having torrid sex with the boy in a hotel near the airport.
Here's the boy now.
Blow me.
Young Rudy. So, hotel near the airport. By the way, it was the Bush Intercontinental Airport.
Of course it was. Buzz, I hate it to interrupt you again, but I must.
Yes, you must.
You know, you go 2.5 hours commercial free.
Yeah, you got to pay the price.
You got to squeeze them in somewhere.
Just right. Doing what we have to.
Thank you for hanging with us now through this part of the show, Buzz. Thank you for the abbreviated news and comments.
Right.
Now it's time for a call 100 and a prize package selected especially for you. Phone number 877-365-3636. Be the 100th caller right now.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I don't know whether to laugh or vomit.
Two horny, nasty guys waiting to please you. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, Buzzy.
In sports, NASCAR has Bobby Labonte leading the Winston Cup standings with 3,335 points this week.
Bobby Labonte.
He leads Dale Jarrett by 111 points, Dale Earnhardt by 237, and Jeff Burton by 252. And finally, crooks are still very, very stupid.
You make this one up?
No, I didn't.
All right.
True story.
I used to.
In East Peoria, Illinois, two slack-jawed yokels held up a gas station and drove away. Two blocks after they left the gas station, they ran out of gas. They knew better than to return to the scene of the crime, so they walked a half mile to the next gas station, got some gas, and walked back to the car where the police were waiting to arrest them. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
No! Oh, yes. No!
Really?
Yeah, that's it. I think we got in almost all the commercials.
Pretty damn good.
Wow, what a program it was.
Interesting roller coaster today.
Tomorrow we're going to be filling up Big Joe DiCaprio's beach house.
Hey.
The Dewey Beach House. Got to do that tomorrow. What's the name of Charlie Stossel in the dunk booth? We'll hear that on tomorrow's episode. And probably less arguing tomorrow. I would hope so. I don't think we can avoid it. I think we have way enough arguing today. I think tomorrow will be a
happy and peppy show.
I think tomorrow we may turn the other cheek.
Yeah, we'll turn from fighters to lovers.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey.
Hello. It's my fault the phones are still screwed up. Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike, I am the 100th caller.
Yes, you are. What's your name?
Jerry from Stafford.
Jerry, you and Aaron Brockovich. The Aaron Brockovich Prize Pack, courtesy of Blockbuster. Aaron Brockovich, available now for rent at Blockbuster on VHS and DVD. Blockbuster, Broadway All, bringing entertainment home. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great night. Okay, that's it. Gotta go. Oh, a Vegas style show Wednesday night.
Yeah.
We'll be at Nation in D.C. on against Survivor.
With new director of security, Wendell Hall.
Come on down. See you there. Great time. Talk about that show tomorrow. See you then. Thank you and good night.
Thank you and good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
And Robbie, we're ready for you to throw your hey, hey, throw your fez in the air. Just like Sydney, Tyler Moore.
You might just make it after all.
Meow. We will see you tomorrow.
Long,
bye-bye.
Till we meet again. Simon Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.